The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in progress.
So after we take the mug shots, we bring them on down here where they wait to be interviewed by the arresting officer. Trust me, kids, you do not want to be sitting on these benches. We call this place Loserville.
PFW in progress with Red Kirsch.
He's actually kind of funny.
Yeah, indeed.
Is he all there? Like, mentally?
I think so. It's just an odd guy. Kind of weird.
I mean, should we be worried?
No. No.
Paul Perillo.
Don't forget your Rogaine.
Rogaine. Check.
And don't forget to use it. I can totally tell when you forget your hair just looks thinner.
Using of the Rogaine. Check.
And Andy. And Andy?
Denton Park's so close.
Yeah, what's wrong?
Shouldn't be here.
Andy Hart.
Why is that? I'm not supposed to be within 200 feet of a school.
What?
Or Chuck E. Cheese.
Eric Scalavino.
You guys might not know this, but I consider myself a bit of a loner. I tend to think of myself as a one-man wolf pack.
For now, anyway.
And 6 months ago, I thought, wait a second, could it be? And now I know for sure, I just added to my wolf pack. Four of us wolves running around the desert together, looking for strippers.
PFW in progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hey guys, you ready to let the dogs out?
What?
Do what?
Let the dogs out.
You know, like, ooh, let the dogs out.
Yes, we are ready to let the dogs out.
Who let the dogs out?
All right, welcome to PFW in progress. Our last show of the week before we watch all that wild, wild card stuff. Find out who the Patriots are going to play.
Wild, wacky, wild card stuff.
Not bad, Freddie.
You like
right
that?
Now, Andy's saying, who is he? Who's he imitating?
Right. Who that is. Don't you worry about it. Johnny Carson.
Oh, good, Andy.
Good. Brooklyn Matt's off your case
in
for
my
a
life. Right. I mean, he's in my lifetime.
There's a lot of people in your lifetime
right.
that you never heard of.
No. But he was, I mean, he was still working in the mid-90s?
No, I don't
early
think
90s?
So.
Not sure. I'm Ron Burgundy?
Anyway, so. Welcome to PFW in Progress, where you can call or email us and talk Patriots for the next 2 hours.
Or anything
508-543-7482. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. Open locker room today? Yes, this morning.
But Eric will be by later.
But that's about
Here's
it.
An update.
Right, and then Eric will be coming back from practice.
Just big news.
What's that?
Well, Light and Welker were
added
to the Pro Bowl.
Matt Light, Wes Welker.
So now we have two average players at the Pro Bowl.
Oh, jeez.
From our comparison yesterday.
That's eight Pro Bowlers now for you and New England Patriots.
Very good. Excellent.
Yeah, for now.
Any
the number
chance
will start
Gronkowski,
dropping. At
yeah,
some point.
Gronkowski's
yeah, but
they're
still going to be named
still
Pro
eligible, right? He could get in there.
Oh, yeah. I think he was next in line, in
Did
my
Did you
mind.
Find Should out any there. Information? I know you were kind of sort of trying to look into the alternate situation.
Yeah, they don't know. I don't know why
don't
they don't know.
So,
I don't know who exactly knows. Somebody
so for
has
all
to
we
know,
Gronkowski is the next in line or he's like the
57th. All we know is he was. Second, third. He was in the
top
five.
I do think there's
going to
be a tight
voted.
End, right? I can't imagine Antonio
well,
Gates
tight
is going to go.
Aaron Andrews on SportsCenter.
Oh, God,
right
here we go again. Is this going to come on every day at 12:10?
Andy doesn't like her.
You know, it's funny. Just a quick story. I was listening to the NFL on Sirius last night. And,
why?
I was
Adam Schein?
I was driving around. And Vic Carucci was actually filling in with somebody else.
Old friend Vic Carucci.
Yeah,
I forget.
Now, so... We were talking about here about how once in a while we slip up and we throw out an F-bomb. Now, this is serious. Remember, it's satellite. So he's on the radio, and he's talking with his host and Phil Villapiano from the Raiders calling because they wanted to talk about Tom Cable getting fired. So, you know, they start off, and now, you know, Vic knows some of these guys because he wrote
– Oh, Phil Villapiano played for the Bills too,
so Vic
probably knows him
yeah,
from Buffalo.
He knows Phil Villapiano, and – And Vic has written books about guys before, and one of the guys was Conrad Dobler. So, you know, he's a friend with Villapiano as well. So Villapiano starts off by saying, hey, Vic, good to see you. Guess who I was just on the phone with? And Vic says, let me guess. His initials are CB and CD. And he goes, yeah, it was Conrad Dobler. He goes, you know what he had to say, Vic? And Vic goes, no, what? And he goes, F you! Like that, he just yells it out on the radio. And Vic's like, oh, okay, nice. It's like there was no like 7 second delay or anything.
Well, they don't have to,
well,
right?
I'm serious, I mean, they don't.
I guess not, but
yeah.
I thought like you know NFL would maybe
wouldn't
require
them
that,
to. Right? But,
yeah, my guess is that the NFL probably has
frowned
asked that they not.
But
do
I was
that.
Like, wow, that's pretty cool. It's not just us. But it wasn't even a slip up. He just yells it out. So.
Yeah, but on our show, it's the host that yells it out. You.
Right. What anyway?
We've all taken part. In
I've never said an F-bomb.
No, I'm just talking about swearing. Oh.
You've said some things, though.
I've said a few things.
You had a streak there about four or five times in 2 weeks. What do you deem minor? Just out of curiosity.
F-bomb is pretty high on the list.
F-bomb is high on the list.
F-bomb and C-bomb are pretty.
Oh.
Ooh. C-bomb.
That's the highest?
Yeah.
That's the highest?
That might be higher. Yeah.
Really?
He's talking about Skype like it's the last. Excuse me.
All right.
Is that me?
Wait, maybe I did say it. It sounded like an F-bomb to me. Yeah. I don't know what else could have been in there.
No, that was probably
by context.
All right.
Actually, I've said it twice. Remember when Eric was listing the famous people that went to his school and he said a name?
I'm never happy.
Who the bleep is that?
That's one that you're not even mad about. At least when I do it, I'm zero to hot.
One of the times I did it was I was just saying he was just going down the effing field.
Right. We should probably get off this topic because one of us is just going to say something.
Now it's in our head,
right?
Yeah,
right.
Anyway,
end badly.
I thought that was funny and I thought I'd share.
That was nice.
Webradio@patriots.com, 508-543-7482 is the hotline.
Ace ticket hotline.
Yeah. What else do we got going on? Open locker room.
And that's
anything going on in there? No?
Yeah, that's why I told you. Eric will be by later. He'll give us an update.
Okay.
But nothing.
Nothing? It's very kind of slow day.
They're out of practice. It seems cold. We saw an unnamed player jogging by us. He appeared to be late for practice, and he had a lot of the hood and the long sleeves and stuff on. Expecting some snow in the next, not just now, Friday, but big storm maybe middle of next week. There could be some snow.
Really?
You know, preparing for the postseason game, they'll have to clear the parking lots and the field.
That'll be bad.
What'll be bad?
A big storm for the games. I don't want.
No, I think it'll be between games. I don't think it'll. Well,
so if you're the Patriots,
where are the games this weekend? Kansas City and Indy, so it won't be an
issue. The Patriots, I think, clearly have an advantage in bad weather based on the way they've played in bad weather. I mean,
well,
I think
I
we can put the, to rest
one major
those kinds
advantage.
Of things.
I think it's 12. Kind of like it always is, but I think he's even more of an advantage in bad weather.
But I don't want to see that necessarily impact games.
Yeah. No, you like to see a clean game and just
keep
beat
it fair. Keep it fair.
And you can use your line again. Sure, there won't be snow in New York in February for the Super Bowl or whatever that you've thrown
out. Don't
have
to worry about that.
Have you been following, Fred, the situation in Miami? Where Tony Sparano is still the head coach.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
And yet they've been courting everybody out there and apparently are willing to give Harbaugh as much money as he asked for.
That's unbelievable. And I think as an employee, you could file a suit that's like making it impossible for me to do my job. And so now you have to pay me and fire me.
So Sparano,
well, they're going to have to pay him and fire him either way. I don't think he has much of a lawsuit.
Sparano couldn't have one
damages.
Of those Bill Belichick signs.
I mean, what?
Sparano couldn't have one of those Bill Belichick signs, do my job.
You know?
He can't.
No, that's disgraceful.
Well, I have a stupid question. Like, and I guess it's probably in the contract language, but he's the head coach of the Dolphins. What if they hired, what if they kept him and hired Jim Harbaugh to be the senior head coach or executive head coach?
But they wanted
and
to
just
keep
put
him?
A guy ahead of him. Now I know you like it wouldn't work because he might just freak out. But
listen, if anybody could do that, Mike Brown would have already done it to try to save money.
Probably
he would have made the guy quit and not had to pay him. Or Al Davis would have done it too.
Right.
And reportedly, Josh McDaniels interviewed for the San Francisco 49ers head coaching gig.
Well, did he interview or they said they were very interested in him?
No, that was the Raiders that were very interested in him.
49ers.
Intrigued.
The report I heard on the radio was that he interviewed with the San Francisco
49ers. See, if he gets a job as a head coach, you know. I'd be shocked because I really thought the teams would lay off for at least a year.
Oh, and head coaching, I did too.
Yeah.
Where we differ is I think he's going to have a couple of coordinator jobs to pick from.
I think he'll have a coordinator job to pick from,
but
whether or not he takes
Mangini
it.
Mangini landed on his feet immediately. Same thing. Is if you find one guy who likes you.
Yeah, but Mangini didn't, you know, do what McDaniels. He didn't have the one and a half year record that McDaniels did, and I don't mean wins and losses. I mean,
but Spygate.
The
theory was that Spygate and the way that was handled would be frowned upon by the.
Yeah, but I think as time went on,
I don't know. Other teams like seeing the Patriots get their comeuppance.
And plus, I think a lot of people figured out that that wasn't his fault.
That's right.
I don't think people like snitches and rats.
Well,
and there were a lot of people that believed he was going to be viewed as a snitch and a rat,
and that could be. But maybe
got a job like that.
Maybe like Paul said, you know, maybe it wasn't all him. When it came down
to it. Well, I know it wasn't all him.
Maybe he just wanted to get the tape that day. But,
I'm not talking about truth. I'm talking about perception.
Yeah. But
the bottom line is all it takes is one guy.
But what I'm saying, all these other teams found out the truth.
I don't think so. I think they found one guy, Randy Lerner.
Well,
who wanted him, who fell in love with him.
I just don't think.
For whatever reason, Randy Lerner took a shine to.
And if Jed York, is that his name? No. Jed York? Whatever. If he falls in love with McDaniels, he's a young guy. Maybe he says, I want another young guy.
If as an owner, I'd say, look, I'm sure he, you know, maybe he has all the potential in the world, but I don't think he can come in and get and take over our locker room yet. You know, I need a guy to come in and get control.
Did you hear kind of the shots that Elway was kind of subtly throwing out at McDaniels in his comments taking over about they kept Zanders, the GM, and Elway said, basically, I'm going to let people who know what they're doing do their job. I'll break the tie between the coach and the GM. But other than that, we have a GM, Brian Zanders. I'm going to let him do his job, something he couldn't really do when it became kind of a one-man show here of late or something. There were some subtle phrasings that I took as shots at Josh McDaniels from John Elway.
Well, even with the, executive vice president breaking ties, now you got guys running to him every time they disagree with the other guy. It's, I don't know. I'm not sure.
But he's still the boss.
Who is?
Elway.
Yeah, but now there's a president in charge. Above Elway.
Yeah, but he...
Joe Ellis has ultimate control.
Well, Robert Kraft has ultimate control.
True, but, you know, on football decisions, he does step back.
But isn't that what that guy in Denver's doing? I don't know.
I don't know.
He's a business guy.
I thought that guy was a business
guy. He's a COO who just got promoted to president.
And then where does Pat Bowlen fit in? I just think there's a lot of layers here, and I think there's too many.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't know.
Well, clearly, it's the same case of... You want to get away from what you had. You had a one-man show in Josh McDaniels.
Well,
you chose the wrong man to give all the power to.
That's what the Patriots did, and it was the wrong move. When Parcells left, they said, okay, we're not going to allow one guy to dominate. We're going to have Bobby Greer. We're going to have Robert Kraft, and we're going to have Pete Carroll. And it didn't work.
You need one guy to have the control. Now, it's
or the right two guys.
It's very, very hard because you need to get the right guy. Parcells could do it. Belichick has... knocked it out of the park, 10 times and then some.
Yeah,
but not everybody can do
it. Not everyone can do it.
I think the better scenario is two guys, but the right two. Because I don't think there's a lot of people in the planet that can be the guy. And
I just think you need to have one guy with final say. I don't think you can have two guys with final say.
Well, you can't.
I think you need to have one.
Only one guy
somebody
can
Somebody has to be the
and
final
they have him. His name is John Elway.
You think it's Elway?
Well, that's what he said.
No, I'm not, but I think you're
He's basically
me.
Saying, I'm not a scout. I can't go making all the decisions.
So he'll
but
be the
when
guy
when we
that...
make the decision who to take, number two overall, that's my decision. Okay,
so
I'll...
So, I mean, it could work, you know, where he gets the consensus, like you said, all the information, and when there's a disagreement, he'll arbitrate.
Right.
So he's like the master arbitrator.
But it doesn't sound like he's planning on... The coach says, I want Andrew Luck. The GM says, I want Andrew Luck. I don't think... Elway's going to come in and say, no, we're not taking Luck. Sounds like he'll only come in as if there's a butting of heads.
Right.
Which is smart.
Now, in Belichick, and when Pioli was here, what would they do? Somebody sit on my sandwich?
Is that what Belichick said to Pioli?
I got a flat Italian here.
as opposed to Paul, who's a fat Italian.
No, but, you know, when Pioli was here, Belichick said that, you know, they would disagree, and when it got to the point where they couldn't agree on anything, they'd move on to the next thing.
I don't even buy that.
Yeah, I would imagine that ultimately when they came back to that thing,
Belichick said, I'm taking X.
Right.
Know your role, shut your hole, and move on.
Whoa, that's a good one. Know your role, shut your hole.
I use it all the time at home.
That must work out well.
No, it doesn't.
I could see how those go. I like so and so Pioli. Bill, are you sure? I don't really like him. Really? You don't like him? Okay, I think you're right.
But and then the chest would deflate a little.
I also found we talked about that Jason Whitlock stuff yesterday when he was killing Pioli.
Yeah, Fred, he's making the rounds. He was on Showtime NFL last night, spewing all the exact same stuff.
When he said. Whitlock said that he is just falling in love with the sound of his own voice, and he's constantly enforcing his will on the media in terms of being the mouthpiece of everything.
Yeah.
And this is a guy who, if you remember when he was here, was quoted often as using that line from his father, you know, you have two ears and one mouth. Use them accordingly, you know, proportionately or whatever, how he used to put it. I'm glad to see that he really adhered to
it. Right. No,
he didn't adhere to it here. He just, you know, just didn't say bye Scott Pioli at the end.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, again, it's another case of good thing he's winning, you know.
Is he, though? Everybody's poo-pooing him. Everybody says he and the Seahawks, their team stink.
Well, you can only play the games that you're
scheduled. Which is why I'm rooting for the Chiefs and Matt Cassel.
All right. WebRadioPatriots.com, 508-543-7482 is the ACE ticket hotline. Emails are coming in. Yesterday, we talked a lot about disappointment, the perception of being disappointed, and the perception of feeling that the team failed you. And Doug in Reno writes, and I've heard the discussion. I have a strong reaction that any hardcore Patriots fan, and I know you guys feel the same way, if they look at the team objectively from what we anticipated at the beginning of the year to what they have accomplished so far this season, this has been one of the most satisfying teams in recent memory. We all knew that the team would have to rebuild itself and get younger. And to do that in 1 year with these results, we couldn't have asked for anything better. This year has been great fun. And if they lose, yeah, we'll be disappointed. But we may be looking at the beginning of another dynasty team. And if that is the case, we can look back and say this is the year. This year was far from being a failure. I think that pretty much sums it up.
Sure. You know? Got some Diet Coke for you, Freddie.
Great. So, so now this is the Diet Coke.
Yes.
Why do we have Diet? Oh, because we had it from Omega before.
Right. And so I'll take the rest of that Diet Pepsi.
Not a joke. That'll be empty by the end of the show.
We'll get more Omega Tuesday.
It's Omega Tuesday.
Another thing that I wanted to bring up, I saw on the Twitter going around today, people taking their
pants off.
No.
Oh.
But people nominating Patriots for the 12th man award.
Do we still have that?
No, but I don't know who was doing it. Reese might have been conducting the survey, or I don't know who, but I saw a lot of going back and forth on who that might be.
Because it used to really exist, right? Wasn't it the Shaw's 12th Player Award?
Yeah, I think you're right. Maybe there is still. And
no, I don't think we have it. I think it kind of a couple of years ago just faded into
oblivion. You know, who would you think? And first of all, I think even more than MVP and
Ben
comeback,
Jarvis Green-Ellis.
You need to define who is that. Is it just someone who exceeded expectations simply? Because then that's most of the team right there.
Well, it is. It's about exceeding expectations. It's about being a guy that became a key contributor that you didn't think was going to be. I think it's hard with this team because of, you know, the idea is you have 11 guys you count on, starters. You know, it's the same thing, the 10th player award. You just add one to whatever the starting lineup is. But what's the starting lineup here? Who are the core 11 on either side of the ball that you start with and then add to the sixth man? Green-Ellis would be a great candidate, certainly.
Yep.
Because he didn't start the season as a starter. If anything, he was fifth on the depth chart.
Ends Woodhead.
Up with a thousand-yard season. Woodhead. But
Dan Connolly.
McCourty.
It kind of depends on your expectations.
Yeah, but he was a first-round pick, so you had certain
expectations.
Well, that's
why I wouldn't pick McCourty as my player. I'm just saying he should be in the discussion.
Rob Ninkovich would be a guy.
And I don't necessarily think it needs to be held, and it's just maybe it's just my opinion, but strictly, you know, it's the seventh player award in for the Bruins. You know, there's six guys on the ice, seventh player award. You know, 10th player award for the Red Sox. I don't think it has to not be a starter.
It doesn't.
A guy who
he
sort
can
of
start,
a,
but my
he
point
performs
is
above and beyond expectations.
On offense, aside from, you know, it's a little different. You take out the offensive lineman, but okay, so on defense, aside from Mayo and Wilfork, you kind of came into the season.
Right.
Anyone else could, so it could be the third player award on defense, you know, it would be McCourty because he's been the next dominant force on defense. Whereas on other teams, it would be treated differently. You know, if you had 9-10 starters, all of a sudden Eugene Wilson comes in as a rookie, he starts, he fills in. Okay, he's our 12th player award winner.
Right.
I think this team, it's hard to do. I think Green-Ellis is a great candidate. Ninkovich, I think, would be a great candidate.
Yep.
Jimmy Sanders would be a great candidate. But, like, I wouldn't give it to McCourty. I wouldn't give it to Gronkowski. He's filled the role we thought he was going to fill.
Woodhead, you would.
Maybe. Woodhead, I would have in the conversation. Dan Connolly, I certainly would have in the conversation for the fill-in nature, just move from one role to the next.
Right. So I think there's five or six guys that, you know, you could make a good case for.
Sure. I think there's, you could probably more than that. I mean, I think you can make a case for Gronkowski. I just had high expectations and high hopes, and I think he's filling the role I'd hoped he would fill. Sorry, you're mid-bite. You know I'm going to keep talking. Hernandez! Julian Edelman on punt returns. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think all the guys...
Shane Graham on a different team would be a candidate.
All the
guys
mentioned, I think, were all legitimate candidates.
Kyle Love.
Speaking of tight ends, Matt...
I told you, Eric will be by later.
No Sox told me that special preview on All Access. He's got Hernandez, Crumpler, and Gronkowski sitting down with Christian Fourier to do an interview.
Four tight ends.
And I'm sure there's a joke there somewhere, but we'll get past it. All right, webradio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482 is the ace ticket hotline.
Are you going to a break, or should I do my read now?
Well, I don't know. Is there someone on the phone? No.
Okay. I have a read I need to do.
You have a read? Okay. Is this for air?
Yeah, it's for our lunch.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Andy Hart, and I'm here to talk a little bit about SBRentalAgency.com. I really have a read. He sent in text.
Okay.
Need to rent a home in Dallas for the Super Bowl? SBRentalAgency.com has you covered. I added that. I ad-libbed there a little bit, Paul. Is that what they do in the business? Do they ad-lib a little, go off script? Renting a home provides many amenities that hotels cannot offer, such as more space, privacy, room for friends and family in their own private bedrooms, full kitchens, pools, spas, media rooms, and many other options. The featured home on SBRentalAgency.com is a 7,000-square-foot executive gated home, much like Fred Kirsch lives in.
Yeah.
5 bedrooms, 6 baths. The house includes use of the owner's beautiful 2008 Bentley GT Diamond Edition, up to 100 miles a day. Just visit SBRentalAgency.com to view the homes listed. That's SBRentalAgency.com for all your Super Bowl rental needs in the Dallas area. Can we get it, Fred? Can PFW stay there?
No.
Why? Perfect. It's, what did I say, 5 bedrooms?
Because I'm sure they're looking for money.
Oh, yes, they are.
Yeah.
But go to SBRentalAgency.com for the best house in the Dallas area. It's pretty cool that it comes with a Bentley, too.
That's unbelievable. That's working in style.
Eric's and if it
here.
Rains, you have the umbrella.
Hey, Eric, I hear it's your birthday today.
Yeah, it is.
Nice.
Thanks.
So how old are you now?
40.
Who'd you hear that from?
I'm only like 1 year away from it being
John
true when
LA.
I say 40.
John in L.A., let me know.
38, Fred.
Again?
Not again, no.
You've been 38 for quite a while.
See, Eric is cerebral. Instead of sticking on 39 like most people
do. Do it a year early. Very intelligent
38.
There.
He's cerebral.
38.
Okay. So Eric, once he gets all settled,
yeah,
he's got to
give me a minute.
Get his coat off. And not wearing the camel hair today.
No.
It's a blue overcoat, I'd call it.
Looks black to me, but is that blue?
It's dark blue, yeah.
Navy blue. That's navy blue.
Navy blue. Right.
That is navy blue.
Yes,
thank
it
you.
Is.
That other thing that
why
you had
are you yelling?
The other day was not navy blue.
Who are you fighting with?
Blah, 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 blah. I mean, I think you'll all agree that that's not the same color as the other thing we were arguing about.
I thought
about
that was black. I don't remember the other thing we argued about.
That is navy blue.
Black.
Navy blue from a distance looks black.
The other thing that you were arguing about was
blue
navy
gay.
Blue.
That is navy blue.
The other thing that you were arguing about that day was navy blue.
Well, then that can't be then.
That's black.
It's one or the other, Paul. That is navy blue. Take it from someone whose dad was in the Navy. I know navy blue. All right?
And probably will be.
All right. Webradiopatriots.com. Phil writes in, just started listening to you guys this year in my iPhone 4. You guys are awesome. I live in Santa Fe, New Mexico, where I'm either surrounded by Denver Donkey fans or Cow Pie fans. I would be totally disappointed if they didn't go to the Super Bowl and win. I am a fan that likes to eat humble pie, so many Pats fans think we're going to kill the competition. I still can't forget last year's playoff and 07 Super Bowl. Every team is 0-0. I honestly didn't think we would be number one seed this year. Well, keep up the great work, guys. I plan to get a subscription to the magazine soon. I don't know what you're waiting for, Phil.
Today, 1-800-494-PATS, pfwonline.com.
Yeah. Do me a birthday solid and order a subscription.
Yeah, there you go.
Stop procrastinating.
James from Brisbane says, I'm just curious, what are your thoughts on the new overtime rules we're going to see in effect this weekend? Personally, I'm against it. If you can't win the game in 60 minutes, then there's nothing wrong with going to sudden death. I'm curious about the strategy that some coaches will use, though.
I hope we – I kind of don't want to see it. I want to see a game end in regulation.
Well, I want to see it, just not in our game.
No.
But, no, I Rex Ryan earlier in the season said that if, you know, they got to the playoffs and he had to make the choice, he would go on defense first. But then he changed his tune recently. He said, no, now he'll – because he'd hate to see somebody run back a kick and then it would just – the game would just end. Yeah. So he's,
he'd also hate to see his defense go on the field and allow a 12-play, 80-yard touchdown drive to lose.
So he's changed his tune.
Back when he was dominating on defense.
Right. But no, I'm look, I don't know what, you know, my feeling is on this thing. We'll see when it happens, see how it works out.
Wow, look at that, Andy.
I like the idea of in overtime both teams getting a shot. So we'll see what happens. So
it's very impressive.
What am I looking at?
No one's listening to me here.
Fourth on the list, Keith Willis, Northeastern Zone. Anyway,
yes.
I don't think there's going to be a lot of strategy involved. I think it's going to be played exactly the way it's played now, only with a slight twist. And I guess you could call it strategy if you would. Once you get inside the 20 or the 25, generally teams throttle it down. They run the ball three times, get the ball in the middle of the field, and kick a field goal. Obviously, that will not be happening. But I think that teams will choose to, you know, you win the toss, you're going to take the ball because you'll still get a chance to win on a field goal the second time.
Right.
I think the game is going to be played virtually the same.
Well, like
the only strategy difference would come in the fourth quarter, right? Because there's more a comfort level going to overtime, maybe.
So instead of playing for the tie, you play for the win.
I think everybody plays for the tie anyway. So I don't know.
Well, let's just just say you're in overtime. You got the ball first, and you're on your initial drive. You're inside the five. It's now fourth down. What do you do?
Oh, you're kicking a field goal.
Really?
Unless
it's
fourth and goal from the one.
Why would you go for the win?
That's what I mean. It's like inside the five.
No, I'm talking about from the one. Yeah. I mean, from the five? No, I think they'll kick it.
Yeah, I think you still go for the field goal because then
I think they'll kick it every time.
The onus would be on the other team to, if they wanted to win outright, they'd have to score a touchdown.
Right.
Because then if they kick a field goal, now it's sudden death.
I understand.
You'll see people go for it on fourth and goal as often in overtime as you would in regulation. Like Brad Childress here on fourth and goal from inside the one. Went for it.
But after the second, when both teams have had the ball once,
well, then you just kick a field goal to win.
Yeah, now a field goal can win it.
Yeah, but I don't think you'll see a lot of people rolling the dice and going for the win in that situation.
Okay.
Now, I do think that the one change in strategy is when you get in sure field goal range, I think you'll continue to play regular offense as if it were a regular part of the game. You're trying to score a touchdown. Third and nine from the 20, you're not running the ball and saying, well, if I don't get it, I just kick the field goal and win. You're trying to get the first down. That's the one change in strategy, I think, that you'll see.
A lot of pressure on the quarterback, though, because you can't throw that pick. That, you know.
Again, but that's the same way it is in the regular part of the game. I think that basically, I don't really like these rules. I like the regular overtime rule. Mm. If you wanted to give teams chances to win or whatever, that's fine, but I don't really like the solution they came up with.
I just like the thrill of there's an intensity, there's an anxiety to sudden death.
Mm-hmm.
Because any play can be the end of the game. Any play can be a score.
Yeah, well, there is something to be said about sudden death always ending the way it was before on a scoring play, whereas now sudden death could end on a defensive stop and it's just over. You know, if you're up by three and the other team gets the ball, and you stop them, the game's over. You know, it doesn't end on a scoring play. You know, so that takes a little of the thrill out of it.
But I don't know how.
Is your mic not on?
Yeah.
It's just as thrillful, just not. It's in a different way.
Yeah, I think the same, and I understand what your point is, Eric. But
I mean, there's anxiety in
the
college football
version.
You have the same. If the defense
stops,
it's
not the
over.
Same. It's not the same because you know
that
the other team's going to get the ball.
I think it's better.
No. I'm saying if the other team has the ball and they're looking to match, the anxiety is there. It's just a different type.
Right.
Right.
Because if the defense stops,
your theory
game
about
ends.
The you know, the game can end on any play, that still holds true. The game can end on any play in overtime, even the way it is now.
Yeah, right. But
the only play it can end on is an opening possession field goal. Every other play could be the last play of the game.
I suppose. I just I don't know. I like the old way better, I guess.
I do too. I don't like this solution. I think they toy with something like this that gets talked about a lot, but if they don't seem to have any desire whatsoever to touch the playoffs, the playoff format. And I think the playoff format is far more broken than the overtime format.
I think they're going to look at the playoff format.
Well, they keep saying they're going to look at the seeding thing, and
especially with Seattle winning the West. I think they're going to have to.
But how many times has that happened?
Never.
But I think this is the right time to talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you had changed something because it happens once in.
No, but an 8-8 team went to the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. Right?
No, 9-7.
Arizona, weren't they 8-8?
9-7, I believe.
9-7.
And they actually got blown out here, so I can't.
Are you sure they were 9-7?
I'm positive they were 9-7, and I'm also positive they dumped.
They weren't 8-7-1?
Yeah.
They were 9-7.
Okay.
And they dumped their last couple of games as they prepared.
Did you say 8-7-1? There was out of the NHL playoff. No,
there was an 8-7-1 team.
No, I know, but
I don't think they were 8-7-1. I think they were 10-5-1.
I'm pretty sure they were much higher than that.
But I'm with Eric. I think they need to change it. But if you want to continue this whole division thing, I don't really adhere to the division means something garbage, because I think it's a vast inequity.
Yeah.
Because the divisions aren't equal. They're not even close to equal. And there's a big advantage to be gained for the teams. That, to me, is a big enough advantage. The fact that you get to play three patsies.
Right.
You know, if you're in the NFC West and you have six easy games as opposed to, the NFC East or the AFC East or the, the AFC North.
Well,
it's not that
easy, because if you're a bad team, though, too, like Seattle. Well,
no, but my point is, like, the last few years, Arizona's dominated that division. They've been the only team in that division with a pulse.
Okay.
And they've been dominant in it. That, to me, is enough of an inequity. They're going to make the playoffs because their record's going to be better than another team's record, because they have a much easier schedule. Now, on top of that, you're allowing them to play at home and get seeded among the top four. And this is Andy's right. This is a one-time thing. The only other time that a losing team has made the playoffs has been in a strike year, back in 82, I think. 82. The Browns and the Lions were both 4-5 and made the playoffs. But I think 16-game season, this is the only time it's ever happened. But I think this is what you have to prevent from happening in the future.
And since they're in the whole mode of talking about the CBA and 18 games versus 20 games, and why not talk about this too? It's topical. It's happening right now. It's on top of mind. Just discuss it. I'm not saying they have to do anything, but at least start the discussion.
But I think you should get away with playing division games twice a year, then.
But can't even...
I do too, but
if you're going to do that. I mean, I'm fine with it the way it is. I don't like
but
change.
But if you reseed based
I
on...
I don't like change.
If you reseed,
I don't. Playing the role of Paul Perillo.
If you reseed based on record and you keep divisions, can't you equally be hurt because you're in a good division and you lost to some real tough opponents? You know.
Sure.
And now you end up 9-7
yep.
in a tough division.
Mm-hmm. And you're still a good team or a better
team.
You're
still a good team, better than the other team that was 10-6.
I would argue if you're 9-7 as a division winner, you weren't that good.
But if you're in a tough division and,
you're in a tough division and you weren't that good. Because obviously the other teams in your division weren't better than 9-7. So you were all even.
Well,
that doesn't make it good.
I mean,
you're all even.
I mean, probably 9 out of 10 times you'd be right, but there could be that one time.
But my point is, if anybody was really any good, they'd be better than 9-7.
Or like a second half of the season, you were better than the first half. And you had some bad.
Well, but I think that's life. Overall, though, Fred, I think people look at your record and they judge you more on your record than on who you played and your opponent. So I think if you see an 8-8 team versus a 10-6 team, you're going to give the nod to the 10-6 team
just
because of the record.
I just think it works both ways. You know, some people are criticizing Andy's Chiefs because they had a weak record.
Chiefs fan now?
But can't you also say a team that maybe was 9-7 instead of 10-6 like they are had a tougher schedule? Say, well, they are better, but they had a tougher schedule, so they would be hurt in the new system.
But they're hurt in this system. It's not like they're above
getting
them
hurt
in this system.
Somebody's getting
What's
hurt
the
in
big
either
deal?
System.
Is the big argument here that the Seahawks should have to go on the road to play the Saints?
If you have to,
or
keep
are we arguing they shouldn't be in and somebody else should be in?
I would argue they shouldn't be in, but I'm
it's
realistic.
More of that big advantage of being at home.
I'm realistic enough to know that they're not going to change it widespread and eliminate the division.
But
so,
if they're going to be in, they might as well make them the six, make them travel.
NFC West champs, 6 seed. You go to the three seed.
Because of
like
your
it.
Record.
I don't like it.
Now, one of the reasons why we're this whole thing is the way it is because of the divisions, and they feel that you got to keep the divisions because of the rivalries. Has the NFL got past that? Do we really need those rivals anymore, you know, to gain interest? Because I think people watch no matter who the hell's playing. I mean, are we past that?
I think bad rivalries are useless. Good rivalries are still very valuable. Like, I think the Jets and Patriots is a good rivalry. Both teams are normally
right.
competitive.
But I don't think anybody would be crying if the Bills were all of a sudden not in the AFC East, you know?
Right.
I personally like...
Right, but if you eliminate all those storylines, because not every year are the Patriots and Jets going to
be great.
Wouldn't
there be new ones that are just as interesting because they're new?
Not long-term ones.
To me, I'd much rather watch Patriots...
What the Colts and Patriots have done is very rare.
That's what I would rather watch.
But it's rare. It's rare that a rivalry
in the
develops.
'90s. I would much rather watch a Packers Cowboys game than a Packers than a Cowboys Redskins
right.
game.
Right.
You know, that the Cowboys Redskins was considered one of the best rivalries ever, but the way that they when Brett Favre and the Cowboys would go, or the Cowboys and the Niners.
But I don't know.
I'd much rather watch.
There's
those
not
games.
Enough of
right
those
now,
to
Patriots
sustain.
And Colts, Patriots and Steelers.
You
those
see
to
the...
me are far more compelling than Patriots Jets.
Right.
Patriots Jets is a sideshow that we love. I love it too.
I think Patriots Jets and Patriots Dolphins generally live up to, I mean, year in and year out.
But we love it because of the sideshow to me with the Jets. I don't think there's anything compelling
about
football.
I like it because I think it's competitive. It's more competitive. I think Bill Belichick and those coaches are, they prove it every time they win or lose to the Jets. That's different. They treat it
differently. Because the games are more important, because
right.
they mean the playoffs. That's
See,
why.
I don't think it's just the playoffs. I think there's a legitimate
hate. Well, there's
hate.
A little there's bit a, more.
Yeah. You play so often.
There's a hatred with Bill for the Jets, absolutely.
But I don't think it's just the Jets. I think it's because you play so often. It's twice a year. There's the familiarity that leads to the memories of why you hate them.
Well, Pittsburgh and Baltimore is a good example of that.
Right.
You know? Nothing happened with their front offices that would make them mad at each other, but the players themselves have this rivalry
right.
now. They both want to be
I don't think you have enough Patriots, Colts, and Packers, Cowboys to go around the league. I think you'd end up with more weeks where there'd be less interesting games. I think
I don't
division
think there's
games,
as many Patriots, Jets as you think there are.
I think
there's the same amount of Patriots, Jets as there is Patriots, Colts. Intra-division battles as
See,
opposed to inter-division battles.
I don't think so, because it changes sometimes. It's not every year you say, but the best team in the division gets challenged by another division team every year, virtually.
Mm-hmm.
So it's big Houston and Indy games, or big Jacksonville and Indy games, mm-hmm. and you'd be eliminating those.
But that's a perfect example. Those are big games, because the winner is going
right.
to make the playoffs. No one cares about them.
And
they're
battling for...
They're not compelling
oh,
in any way.
Oh, I think
way.
The fans in those cities
Of
care.
Course they do, because they're games involving their teams.
Right.
But I don't...
What
if
do you,
you
think?
If you
it affects the standings.
Take yourself...
But you'd be eliminating those.
Like if
you'd be eliminating the back and forth, the home and home.
If you took yourself out of the situation, okay, and made it completely impartial, you think most fans would rather have the Buccaneers or the Giants in the playoffs at 10-6 or the 7-9 Seahawks?
Most fans
would
yeah.
want the Buccaneers.
I don't think give a rat's ass.
Really?
I think they'd
about
want the...
their non-team. I
no,
don't think fans
really,
really care if
I
another
they
team.
I kind of do. I think they want to see the best football.
Yeah.
I think they'd rather see the 10-6
I think they
Buccaneers.
Want to see the best teams fight out in the playoffs.
The Bucs
tournament.
Would be the choice because their MO for this season is playing fourth quarter games where they're going to make a play and it's going to be exciting.
The only thing that fans
I think
are going to be...
the Giants are an utter disappointment. Oh, so we'll put another disappointment in because they're a more talented disappointment.
The only thing fans will be interested in is if the 7-9 Seahawks suddenly... make a run and become like the Minnesota North Stars in the 80s, whenever it was when they won the Stanley Cup with a losing record.
I don't think fans care. I don't think New England fans care whether Tampa got screwed or Seattle got screwed. I really don't. I think New England fans care about New England.
Well, if their team is in it, they're going to care about their team. But I think that Paul's right.
Fans
that they're
would
all...
care if they were going to Seattle, but I think it's still based on just local.
Maybe, but if you're a football fan
in
general,
NFL
I think
too
you,
much credit?
I think you want to see the best football.
I mean, I thought the NFL had kind of achieved a level that the other three sports doesn't, in terms of
parity.
Looking beyond their provincialism.
Yeah,
I thought the ratings are telling me that this league is more of a whole.
They are.
It's not just about your New England.
And they'll watch any game that's put
every
on.
Every game's an event.
And they'll watch any game that's put on.
And you think they would
any playoff? You tell people it's a playoff game, and they're going to click it
okay.
on Sunday at
you
4.
You think they'll enjoy New Orleans, Seattle more than they would enjoy New Orleans, Tampa Bay, or New Orleans, the Giants?
I don't think they care.
See, I do.
I think it's football.
I do.
I think they'd rather have the better game.
They'll watch it.
I think ratings prove that.
Prove what?
That when there's a big
will
matchup,
the Giants
it gets
draw
better
more?
Ratings.
Wait, they're all bad matchups. They're all bad football teams. You're talking about the
teeter-tottering
between postseason and in-season.
Why are the Kansas City Chiefs a good football team and the New York Giants aren't?
because I think the Chiefs play solid football. I think the Giants disappointed to be where they were.
They absolutely disappointed, but they have the same record as the team that you think is good. So why is that?
When you disappoint, there's a difference between a team on the rise and playing maybe a little above
its
head.
Who do you think would win in a game between the Giants and the Chiefs?
Where is it?
Kansas City.
I'll take Kansas City.
All right.
Because I'll take Eli to turn it over three times and Matt Castle to not.
But your point, Andy, is somewhat accurate in that if there's a game on, a playoff game, people will turn it on. Paul's point, though, is they'll be more interested in the game if it's not their teams involved, if the teams involved are good teams.
My argument would be none of the three you guys are bringing up are good teams. I don't think they're good teams.
That's a different argument.
I mean, it is a totally different argument that I would wholeheartedly disagree with, but that's not really my point. My point, I was assuming that you thought that those teams were more deserving of playoffs than 7-9.
I think the Bucks are a sideshow team that could go back to a relevant playoff.
Most people would see a team that played a tougher schedule and had a three-game advantage in the standings as being better. But that's like I said, it's an argument for a different time.
I don't think fans care that much.
You kind of button-hooked me on that one.
I think fans will watch football no matter what. I think fans like football. And they like the playoffs.
But they do.
They like what's on the
line. They like better football.
But the NFL has a choice.
I'm not suggesting that no one's going to watch that game because the Seahawks are in.
Of course they'll watch the game.
I'm suggesting that people, A, more people would watch it if they weren't, and B, the ones that do watch it would enjoy it more if there were two good teams playing instead of one.
There would be a consensus among fans to say, boy, if there was a system that really ended up the best teams are playing the best teams, that's the ultimate goal.
But it gets back to your thing. What are the best teams? You just said, what if a team is better over November and December?
Right.
Are they now the best team? Because right now they're playing better.
That's my original point where no matter what you do, somebody's going to feel
it's never
going to
be perfect. Yeah. So the bottom line is people are going to watch.
Yeah.
Because they like football.
Practice?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Back outside.
Makes perfect, you know.
Well, almost.
Yeah. Perfect practice makes perfect.
Perfect practice makes perfect. Some mixture of slightly good and slightly not so good news. You want the not-so-good first?
Sure.
Sure? Yeah. No Sebastian Vollmer today. Along with the other four from yesterday.
Nine.
Hernandez, Cunningham, Moore, and Wright. So we had five absentees for the start of practice.
Wright goes with the theory if you do it faster and harder, it makes less noise.
Right.
Sounded dirty, huh? Actually, I think if you do it faster and harder, it makes more noise.
Andy having another one of his conversations with himself.
Eric, we're talking about sex.
That's
I know
what
it's been
said.
So the relatively good news is that Dan Connolly has shed his red jersey and is back to the normal white practice jersey.
What about Woodhead still in the
Woodhead
red?
Woodhead and Copen still in the red.
Okay.
Why is Copen in red? Has anyone told
me
that?
We don't know, and there's no injury report this week because there's no game. So we won't know.
We'd love to let you know. But
yeah. So next Wednesday, we should know about the status of
he might not
those
be
two
in
guys,
red, though, by then.
He might not be in
and
red.
And no one will ask, why was he in red?
Maybe not. But we'll know whether they're there or not, at least.
Andy, he could wear a red shirt in the game on a week from Sunday, and people still wouldn't ask why he was in a red shirt.
So the good news is, it sounds like we're going to have Woodhead and Conley back.
Yeah.
I'm all in that Woodhead will be out there.
Yeah, I have no doubt. And Woodhead spoke very briefly. I mean, literally 20 seconds in the locker room today. And it was very inaudible. He was talking very low, but he was getting ready to leave to go to a meeting. And basically, the gist, I think, was that he's just going to take it day by day, but he thinks he'll be fine.
Well, I heard that every time somebody asked about his head, he said, I'm just trying to, you know, play better, run, tackle, you know, the whole thing.
Well, his fallback is always, we're just preparing for, and he inserts team name here. So this week he's struggling because, you know, there's no team name to insert.
And they went with the full pads again. So getting used to the keeping in game type shape with the full pads. That's pretty much it.
Are we worried that we're not going to be with Hernandez for whoever the opponent is because it's going to be a good team?
What'd you say?
That we're not going to be with him because it's a good team?
Yeah, I mean, we want our full complement of weapons, and we're going to need our full complement of weapons. Are we worried if Hernandez isn't there?
Yeah, that'll be a concern.
I mean, they've done okay in the last couple games, but
he's a key part of the offense, or has been for the bulk of the season.
Yeah, but something tells me he'll be out there next week.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Little birdie on your shoulder?
No. Just I saw him the other day at practice.
Yeah.
And he was running around a lot better than he was the other times we saw him trying to run around.
When he had a setback and wasn't out there the next day.
And maybe this is just precautionary because it's a week where there's no game, so why throw him out there if you don't need to get a little extra rest? We'll see next week, but
okay.
I don't know. I would err more on the side of he'll be out there.
Say he'd be better off in the training table
maybe
than out there.
Maybe.
Okay. I hope so.
That's what I'm going with.
To answer your larger question, yes. As Andy said, he's been a part of your passing game most of the season. So to not have him or to have him at significantly less than 100%, not good.
Yeah. Let's see. So that it?
Pretty much, yeah. That's
anything in the locker room besides Woodhead? Nothing?
No, it was a lot of angry reporters today.
Angry reporters?
Angry at the situation.
I heard one was upset because
was
there
the
isn't
Jersey
a female
boys
bathroom.
Doing here, the Jersey Shore guys.
There's not a male bathroom either.
Right. What are you talking about?
Angry at the situation, you said.
Oh. Sorry.
Ba-dum-bump.
No, because there were a lot of, not a lot of people available. A few people declined to be made available, especially certain high-profile players. Who,
was it
know,
like an angry mob? Were they like,
No, but people, not like torches
no,
and
really
pitchforks, but no, it was more than the Globe, my friend. There was one reporter who said, one reporter actually said, I'm ready to fight somebody today because.
Tommy Curran.
No,
Mike Giardi. No.
He's always ready.
Mike Giardi.
Nah,
he's been on edge the last 2 days. He's been all worked up.
Mike's a little upset. He's not getting any.
Sent an email to the PR director and still hasn't heard back.
Wow.
Well, we can't say that. I didn't say who the PR director is.
No, but he had a lot of company today with people who were upset at not being able to get interviews and players turning them down. It wasn't a good wasn't the best of scenes in the Patriots locker room today.
Interesting. I like that.
Yeah, well, we don't because it's our job to try to get those things.
I know.
I like it, Fred.
I like
you know,
it.
Especially when, you know, I'm just going to throw a hypothetical out there. You know, let's say a guy happens to, you know, get named to the Pro Bowl squad after the fact and you want to talk to him and he says no.
Well Welker did talk.
Yeah, Welker did talk.
Two guys were added.
There were two guys who were
Thanks
added.
For
but
clarifying
let's just,
Eric Sloan.
Obviously,
scenario.
The other one didn't have any charity events to pub
up. Oh.
Exactly, Paul.
Was I not supposed to say that?
I'm fine with it.
I'm okay with it.
I'm fine with saying anything.
I'm okay with pointing out hypocrisy.
Really? Are you? I would
no,
have never guessed.
Not certain things.
No,
you
it's
Go Chiefs.
Yeah.
Go Chiefs.
Anyway, it
just to clarify, the 10-6 Chiefs, good. 10-6 Bucks, bad.
The Bucks suck. I'm going with it. This was a mirage.
7-9 Seahawks. Solid.
It was luck.
Yeah.
No, not solid. Seahawks suck too. My point is, the other teams that should be there suck. Just as much. I would be in favor of cutting the playoffs shorter.
I actually think that they need to expand them.
Oh, God, no.
I think
really? More teams?
Either that.
Oh, no.
Bring more crappy teams in the playoffs.
No.
Let's be the NHL or
I
MLS.
I want to add two teams and eliminate byes.
Okay, so this year, who would the two teams that would make it? Would it be just based on record?
No, I would just say the team that I like the best with the prettiest uniforms.
No, but like,
well, he does stick with the win-based formula.
I think my point is, what teams?
What he's known for?
I don't think
that didn't make it this year.
It's not about deserving or not. I don't like the buys, and I want to do something to eliminate.
But your whole theory is to get the best players, the best teams to play the longest, have the best chance to.
You're going to be hurting,
and you're hurting it. You're removing the best teams. You're saying these bye teams now have to play an extra game. There's a better chance they lose, better chance they get banged up, get a key injury that'll keep them from getting to the championship.
But they're the best team, so they'll generally sort themselves out. I don't think there's a ton of major upsets. I think generally in the NFL.
No, but if
the
Tom Brady
rises,
breaks his leg in the first playoff game, you're making him play that he wasn't going to play.
Well, he wouldn't break it in the first game that he would have had to play after the bye?
No, it's a different team.
Okay.
I like the format the way it is.
I don't.
I think there are enough teams in it.
I think there's an equity to the bye.
I don't want to see it.
Unless they increase the amount of teams in the league, but
that'll dilute the talent around the league.
You're right. It's diluted enough. You can't find a good safety.
There's no good teams. You can't find a good team. Never mind good safeties.
Everything but Patriots ball parole. Fred, I think the Patriots are a pretty good football team right now.
I don't think the Patriots this
good,
year.
Andy,
I
good.
Don't think the Patriots this year compared to the Patriots 2 years ago, 3 years ago. It's Patriots to Patriots, not Patriots to the league. The 07 Patriots.
You take the 08 Patriots over the...
The 07 Patriots.
You said 2 years ago.
And I corrected myself quickly and said 3 years ago. You ignored that.
Well, that was...
Right as you were pumping up the 7-9.
Except for 40 seconds, that was the greatest team in NFL history.
Yeah, well, all right. The 04 Patriots, the 03 Patriots. I mean, the 01, I think those teams are far better.
Oh, I think 01 and this year would be a good game.
I think this year would beat them.
Because
Brady is
don't
so much better than he was in 01.
Yeah,
but I think
offense
it'd be an
as a whole is better
yeah.
than
I think
than
that'd
it
be
was.
A very interesting game.
Yeah, I think it would be a. I think it would be an interesting.
It'd be
game.
Interesting to see what defense the 0-1 Patriots would come up with to get to Brady this year. You know.
You don't think Belichick would shut down Brady?
Yeah, but Belichick would also be.
It's a joke.
Right, right.
It's a joke.
Belichick shut himself out.
Right.
But if you think
Will
Bill is really
grab himself.
Defensive, if he's really better at defense than offense, then yeah, the 0-1 team would have the advantage.
I do think the 0-1 team would beat this team.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I disagree with that.
I do.
I think it'd be a great game.
No, there's no way.
Well, have somebody do it. Can't they do these things on somewhere? Like, can't you go
yeah,
to some
I guess
AccuScore.
Somebody do AccuScore or Madden.
If the same...
And tell us if the 0-1 team, who would win? 0-1 versus 10.
No, it's 0-10.
2010.
It's... I mean,
stop that.
2010.
It's funny.
Just stop.
Funny to talk about, but to me, you can't duplicate the lack of experience at the time of 0-1. The reason I think if they played the same players at the same stage of their careers, played a season now, and the Patriots had won all the games they had won the past decade, I think that same team would probably go closer to 14-2 than 11-5, and have
which team?
The 0-1 Patriots. I think the 0-1 Patriots were the groundbreakers. They were the they're the ones that established the footprint of what the Patriots way is all about.
It's true.
There's also a lot of Jags on that roster.
J.R. Redmond.
And?
Greg Robinson Randall.
And?
Jermaine Wiggins. And there's a lot of Jags.
He's trying
to say there's a lot of Jags on this roster.
Right.
He thinks this team stinks.
Right. All right, well.
Doesn't mean they ain't going to win the Super Bowl.
Only on Patriots.com can you hear Patriots bashing like the way you
from
do.
From Paul Perillo, who makes Ron Borges look positive.
Just, again, to recap, along with the 7-9 Seahawks being better than the 10-6 Giants and Bucks, also saying that the team is going to win the Super Bowl is considered bashing it.
No, saying there's no good teams in the league and this roster is filled out with Jags.
Web radio at Patriots.com.
You're the best.
508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Exactly.
Sam in North Carolina is on the phone. Hey, Sam.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
What's up, Sammy?
What's up, Sam?
Yeah, as long as you guys are talking about playoffs, I think it's
playoffs.
All, you know, the Seahawks are in. You know, I'm not sure how much you guys pay attention to NFC scheduling. The Giants and the Bucks both obliterated the Seahawks this season.
Okay.
Killed them both. So it's kind of a shame that they're out. I'd like to see an extended playoff, to be honest. I know you guys kind of started talking about that. But I think if there are too many losing teams now, there'd probably be a lot more losing teams in the playoffs should they expand it.
Right.
Yeah, I think they'd probably have to expand a little bit before you could add playoff
teams.
There'd
have to be more teams in the league, I think.
Yeah.
Right. Which is all making everything crappier. More crappy teams, more crappy players.
I think it's how it is.
You know, Paul Perillo right now takes the best team in football and thinks the roster's filled out with a bunch of Jags. How would their rosters be filled out by other teams if there were 36 teams in this league?
It'd be a lot harder to scoop up other teams' trash.
It'd be a lot of Jags, a lot of bad players playing in this league.
Yeah. I'm surprised you guys didn't mention Algie Crumpler for the 12th Man Award. I think he deserves it probably more than anyone else.
That's a good one.
For the leadership, especially since Falk went down and... He's fun to watch. I've never had so much fun watching a tight end run block, to be honest. But he's a fun guy to watch.
Yeah, he's been a scoring machine the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, a couple of touchdowns. It's nice, especially because Hernandez might not be there. What's up with him? What's the injury report with Hernandez?
It's a hip.
Hip. He looks better. He's limping a lot less. Was it 2 weeks ago we saw him and he barely walked?
Yeah.
Saw him in the locker room this week and he's much better. Now, I don't know if that'll translate to being ready in a week and a half or whatever, but... Certainly looks a lot better, the eye test.
I think it was leading up to the Bills game was when we saw him limping around. He was a little bit better leading up to the Dolphins game. But,
Did he play in the Bills game?
No.
He didn't play in the Bills game. Then he tried to practice last week, was out there, and then was taken off later in
the week, didn't practice. Right.
So he clearly had some sort of discomfort or setback or whatever.
But something in my gut tells me next week we'll see an appearance from him.
Yeah, I hope we see him back. He's about the only fast guy we have on offense.
It is what it is.
But Tate doesn't really catch the ball very often.
And don't underrate G-Force when he gets moving. Takes him a little while to get going, but once
G-Force.
He's chugging.
I love G-Force. Good old-fashioned tight end.
That's right.
Yep.
All right, Sam. Another Sam. This one in North Carolina.
Thanks, Sam.
TJ and Jay's...
Sam from Chicago called yesterday, you know. He is a man, but there's also a woman. She likes us a lot, too, but she's too embarrassed to take part in the show.
And her name's not Sam.
Is his girlfriend?
Has big boot wife. And she has big boobs. Oh, he's going to send a bikini shot.
TG and NJ says, Fred, I heard the Villapiano interview as well. Got to hand it to Vic for just letting it slide and moving on. Yeah, Andy hasn't sworn as much as the rest of you, but it's the content of what he says that's offensive. You guys are...
Well, that's for sure.
He's definitely offensive.
While you're on the receding topic, if we get rid of the divisions...
Wouldn't that
actually help teams that are in divisions with dominant teams? Teams who possibly will never see the playoffs because Peyton Manning and Tom Brady are in their division. It could.
Yeah.
You know.
The Bills won't have to lose to the Patriots twice a year if there's more division.
The big thing with the division, if they get rid of the divisions, is, okay, now how do they set the schedule every year? Now that becomes a huge...
Yeah, I'm not a proponent of getting rid of divisions. I just think their seeding needs to be reconsidered. That's all. Thank you.
What's there, 16 teams in each conference, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Four fours.
Right.
I'm just thinking off the top of my head, if you got rid of the divisions and you played every team in your conference once.
And then
and that way you didn't play the other conference, that would also lend some intrigue.
Well, you'd need one more game.
I understand that. That's why I was saying, what is it, 16 teams? But I was saying...
Plus if it's 18 games.
Or three more.
You would have the intrigue of not having played any games against the NFC when you get to the Super Bowl. So it's truly...
Then it'd be
like
baseball. Used to be. Before interleague play.
Right.
Right.
And I think, again, that gets back, if we're doing these dramatic overhauls, I still get back to your point, you want the best teams playing as long as possible, preferably for a championship. You got to get rid of the AFC-NFC thing, because for so long, the two best teams have been in one conference or the other.
I don't have a problem if you want to do that. I know bring that up all the time as a joke, but
no, it's not a joke. I'm saying
if you want
either
to see
keep
them,
it the way it
see
is,
see them 1-12,
or change the whole damn thing so I can see Patriots-Colts Super Bowl. But I don't want these little pussyfoot and half steps through it. Either do it with the best interest of, I want Manning and Brady on the biggest stage ever. And it, for a while, it was the NFC. So it's not like you're just doing it for now.
Throughout the
this
80s
is much longer
the
90s. Than, oh, the Seahawks made the playoffs with a losing record. We've got to change it. We're looking back 2 to 3 decades now of one conference generally had the two best
teams. What was it, 84 to 97, right?
All NFC.
Right.
All NFC.
Right. So you could have seen Niners, Giants, Niners, Cowboys, whatever, as a Super Bowl. I think there's a greater...
It's the same thing in baseball. People want Red Sox, Yankees
right.
in the World Series. You
right.
know?
And if people really wanted to do it and overhaul it, I'm saying go all in and make it so you can have reseed 1-12 and make it so you can try to have 1-2, the Colts and the Patriots, in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to that. But
I'd be open to that or keeping it the way it is. I don't like the little
I'm just
in the middle.
I'm just realistic. I know they're not going to overhaul it to that extent.
Yeah, I just don't like you. Okay, you win your division. You get nothing for it. Woohoo!
Then there's no conference championship. You know, so I don't know what the importance.
So you call it a semifinal, a quarterfinal, and who cares?
Instead, it's the NFL semifinals.
No,
you
but
call
I don't.
What it really
I don't
is.
Know what the importance of the conferences
nothing.
Are. You know, they
nothing. They're
they,
nothing like
they
the Super
do
Bowl.
Have actual people that work for the AFC and the NFC, right? Don't they? Or?
Oh, information.
Well,
director.
Informationally,
yeah.
You'd still have those.
But, yeah.
They would work for the North and the South and the East of the way. Like you,
right.
You'd have some breakup so you could kind of keep information.
It's not like it's a separate entity. Like
right.
The AFC is its own body of
right.
Right.
You know, operation.
It doesn't have its own rules like the designated hitter.
It does
right.
help for scheduling though to have the divisions, the conferences.
Oh yeah.
It makes the scheduling a lot, you know, the formula at least a lot easier.
Speaking right. of scheduling,
plus you'd be the first like. It's how everybody works. Hockey, basketball, baseball, football. So everybody has
mm-hmm.
conferences and divisions mm-hmm. and everything. It's like people aren't creative enough to say, we're not going to do that. We're just going to do it our own way. Paul's ready to do it his own way.
No, I agree with you, but I think that's one of the things that
I mean, it's
I love
getting,
baseball.
College football is going to conferences. Now there's divisions within conferences. And like,
I love baseball.
They're going that way.
But the thing I like the least about it is the unbalanced schedule where you play all your games in the same division. It's grossly unfair to the teams that have tough divisions. They have to play 19 games against the Yankees and the Blue Jays and the Devil Rays when, you know, other divisions play 19 games against also-rans.
But as a fan of those teams, you're seeing better product, aren't you? regular season, you're seeing a better product.
What would you rather see, a better product or a playoff?
I'm just saying, for your argument purposes of, I don't give a rat's ass about the Raiders playing the Chargers in some meaningless game, in your example of baseball, you're seeing good conference, good division play, right?
Well, what about the rest of the league that's not, is my point.
But is it my point. Is it a big picture item or a little picture item?
No, but it's a big picture item. You're talking about one team. I'm a Red Sox fan, so it's fine with me that I get the good teams. But what if, you know, the 20 other teams that are in divisions that stink, that don't get to see the Red Sox and Yankees? Those are the best teams in the league. Right?
Yeah.
But so it's a big picture thing, not a little picture thing.
I mean, baseball's a little different because of the nature of the economics of the sport. But for football, you don't know who's going to be the Red Sox and the Yankees every year. I know the Patriots have done well here. The Steelers have done well.
No, that's true.
There's a greater... I mean, how often do we say at the beginning of the year, the schedule, I can't tell you who's going to be good and bad this year.
Well, Fred, every year. But even with the gross inequities in baseball, with the financial stuff, you still don't know who's going to be good. I mean, you have an idea that the Red Sox and Yankees are always going to contend,
yes,
and they will. But let's face it, you look at the last, 15 World Series
teams
champs,
pop up all the time.
Someone pops up every year.
But you can't predict it. You know the Red Sox and Yankees will be battling for important games well into the season.
Right. I agree with that. But I wanted, when Eric, you were talking about the scheduling, the Patriots, we already knew their opponents, but there was a slight tweak that the NFL did this year. So the Patriots are scheduled for 2011 to face the AFC West. Now, if you guys remember, in 2008, we faced the AFC West, and we took trips to San Diego and Oakland while Kansas City and Denver came to Foxborough. So normally you'd flip-flop that. They tweaked it so they broke up the West Coast trip. So Kansas City will come to Foxborough again in 2011. So it's Kansas City and Oakland in Foxborough, San Diego, and Denver on the road.
Looking forward to those. So
is that right? Oakland's on the road. San Diego's at home.
Oakland and Denver on the road. San Diego and KC.
We went to Oakland last time. Remember in that ancient press box and the guy insisted on having the window open?
Right, on the rainy, cold day.
Coldest I've ever been in a press box.
Yeah.
Absolutely, because I didn't have a jacket.
Yeah.
You don't expect to need...
It's like...
Yeah, not in...
What balls on that guy?
I wanted to fight that. That, I was... You know what, Fred's right. We were
close to throwing him out the window.
Day, it was like it was
the end... And he didn't do anything. You remember that? He was eating popcorn and just like...
Yeah,
hanging out.
The four of us, that was like the end of the 11th hour of draft coverage on PFW in Progress. We were all like, we had a finger, itchy trigger fingers, and we were ready to go that. All four of us wanted to fight that guy.
Oh, yeah. And it's like, it's like some old-timer that probably
He did nothing but sit there and eat popcorn and watch the game.
Yep. You know, well,
and you had to have
the window open. You got to have the window open. It's like,
kind of like playing a Super Bowl.
Meanwhile,
in New York.
Our papers are flying around. It's just ridiculous.
Baloney. They should just get rid of that team.
That stadium is terrible.
So rather than have Oakland come back and have Kansas City have a trip to Kansas City, it's going to be the same as it was in 2008 for those two teams.
I'm a little disappointed.
Just to break up the West Coast. They're trying to avoid having East Coast teams and West Coast teams having to make two trips in the same year in that division thing. So there were some tweaks with the AFC West and the NFC West.
I wish they had made Denver the home game because I've never been to Kansas City or Arrowhead, so... I was looking forward to going on that trip next year.
Arrowhead's a good trip to go to.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, we got
to
get this guy to go.
Some KC barbecue.
Kevin,
see
we're going to KC.
We're
going to request that
very
you go.
Good food, and it's a really, really
sign me up, Freddie.
Good stadium.
Oh, we're not
it's not
going
a new stadium.
There.
No, but they've redone it.
Anyway,
it's
I'll
not
go
a
to
new
Buffalo.
Stadium, but it's really.
And he won't be here in 6 years when we go, or whatever.
This
it is
5 years. I wanted to go on that trip.
You wait, Andy.
No chance.
Whining and dining at Davio's.
Call Carol Hardy for me and ask her if she can bring down the notebook.
I thought Eric was bringing
okay.
He was out of practice.
I didn't get the message.
Stephen Albany says there was a conversation yesterday about Brady and another player who have gone without haircuts or shaving. Personally, I've been growing a beard since the Steelers game. Does the PFW crew have any superstitions during the season? Is there anything you guys feel are tradition either before or during a game? How widespread do you think superstitions run throughout Patriots Nation?
Paul wears underwear the color of the opponent. It's weird.
it's funny that you brought that up. That the Pittsburgh game, I wore a brown and blue striped sweater, and everybody said I was wearing Steelers colors. They saw me on Patriots Today, and I got like three emails.
Brown and blue?
Yeah, I guess it must have looked like it was gold or something.
I wore a pink shirt last game, and I was thinking this morning, as a matter of fact, that I'll wear that for every game here on in.
And jeans and your Zig-Tex like you wore last game.
Why didn't you wear what you wore in the Pittsburgh game? Because that was the start of the streak.
I don't remember what I wore.
But I'm saying that's what you should have. That's what you should have.
Ratings must be up because Carol was listening to the show and was already on her way down here.
God bless you, Carol. Let's go get some ice cream cake out of the freezer.
Mark from Cheddar. I figured out why Andy doesn't have a filter on the radio. He put his head in the gutter and it got stuck. When will you bring back the Andy Hart Urban Dictionary word of the day?
I wanted to do that.
Especially the Scalavino entry.
Can we do that?
Thank you, strippers.
Can we bring that back?
I guess strippers put an entry in.
Yeah, well, strippers needs to redact that.
Redact.
Well, one thing we won't redact is SB.
What is it?
SBRentalAgency.com. SBRentalAgency.com.
I was sick of it because it sucked.
You buy lunch, you get what you want.
That's right.
What is it? What's SB Rental Agency?
All right, here's some trivia.
Trivia.
Let me start over then. Need to rent a home in Dallas for the Super Bowl? It's SBRentalAgency.com.
It's not really trivia. It's more like facts, you know.
It's just fun fact.
Comes with a Bentley, Eric.
In the second half of the season.
Bentley.
Oh.
In the garage, second half, Peter Paul died. Probably already saw this email. It's
no,
just
I
a
didn't.
Fun fact.
When did he send it in?
Yes, he did.
When did he send it in? Now he's going to lie. Just go ahead and read it. I'll abstain. How's that sound?
In the second half of the season, name the top three defenses according to points allowed per game.
No idea.
Second half of the season.
Patriots have to be one. They only allowed 16 points in the last four
games.
Top
three defenses according to points allowed per game.
Patriots.
20 is number three with 15.6. Who's the
Baltimore.
Who's the hot team du jour? Everybody thinks.
Green Bay.
Green Bay is number one at 13. Number two?
Baltimore?
Nope.
Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Yes.
Pittsburgh at 13.6.
Baltimore's going to be close.
Well, they're not top three. All right, next one. The Patriots had the best points per game differential in the second half of the season. How many points per game better were they than the second-place team? That's hard.
Three. I don't even know what would be good or not good.
Yeah, it's 8.3.
I was going to go 17.
New England was 21.8 in the second half. Green Bay was 13.5. And this is a editorial by Mark from Cheddar. What I feel is most bizarre stat from the season is which team scored the most points per game through their first eight games. Who scored the most points per game first eight games?
The Patriots.
No, not according to this person.
I thought the Patriots were number one in scoring from wire to wire.
No. Denver?
They weren't?
There was like a two in there like where they dropped to second for one. Oh.
Didn't Denver put up like 50 one week?
Because I know that they actually averaged more points in the first four games than they did in the last 12, which I was kind of surprised to see. It was like 32.8 to 32.6.
You already guessed that.
Like
that.
Wasn't yeah. San Diego.
Indianapolis. Nope. Douchebag.
Chargers?
Nope. I'll give you the answer. It's Tennessee Titans with 28.
I don't think that's right.
Well, and just a little over under to finish it off. Seahawks are still in contention to win the wild card game by halftime. Over. Well, that's not
That's true. They will be.
Number of interceptions.
That's not an over.
New Orleans is going to. I think New Orleans is going to have a hard time in that game.
You really do?
Really?
Really?
Oh,
I don't.
They're all banged up, losing guys left and right.
I think
playing on the road.
Seahawks don't even know who the quarterback's going to be.
I think they win the game, but I don't think it'll be easy.
It'll be easy.
Are we doing picks later? That's why I'm trying to get the notebook.
Oh, we got to hurry then.
Got to hurry. We got like four games to pick.
56 minutes.
Number of interceptions McCourty has during the playoffs, 2.
Under.
I'll go under, too.
During the playoffs, number of times stupid announcers say Merriweather has an amazing year and he made the Pro Bowl, 10.
Under.
Under.
Everyone knows he's below.
Number of, even him.
Number of times Fred changes his mind about who he wants to win between the Jets and the Colts, 9.
Over.
Over.
No, he said he's going wire to wire, rooting for the Jets.
Jets
are winning.
The Jets.
Fred.
Man,
Jets are winning.
You are one pathetic
loser. I think the Jets are going to win that game.
Yes. Really?
How so?
I think they're the better team.
Scoring more points.
Really? I honestly do, yeah. They don't have the better quarterback, clearly, but I think as a team overall, better.
You think when you...
And I think they had confidence last year going into the AFC title game, getting a lead, even though they blew it later on. I think that gave those players who are still there the confidence they need that they can go in and take care of it this time.
I don't know. Justin in Alaska says...
I agree with you that I think they're a better team, but... They're not playing better right now.
Justin Alaska says, is it me or is it Kara Henderson from NFL Network, the hottest chick on TV right now, over 30?
It's you.
She's smoking
it's
hot. You.
Andy's not a big fan. I think she's very attractive.
She's a jag.
Just
a girl? Not even.
He wants us to discuss OT. We already gal
than a girl. Used to say.
We already
started in January.
OT.
We're going to lay more pipe.
Who is the Patriots' all-time best safety? Big play Willie Clay, man. Lawyer Malloy, Cherry, Stevens, Harrison, Wilson, Cherry. Merriweather, others.
Are we going in the Super Bowl era?
Who wrote this, Andy?
About?
Yeah, because there were
yeah. like Fred
are we
Marion,
going like
Fred
James, said, Fred Roland Marion,
yeah,
Roland.
Yeah, I would say
Carroll's here. Rodney Harrison. Rodney,
thank you. What happened to my pen?
Oh wait, no, not Rodney, Jimmy.
yeah, it just occurred to you now. No, that's fine. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Carroll.
Carroll Hardy, ladies and gentlemen, 1-800-494-PATS.
The reason you get your paper 2 weeks late on a
that's
regular
1-800-494-PATS.
Yeah, but she brought the PICS notebook down on time, so that's good.
I just gave her a...
Okay. No, I was talking about Andy.
Okay, go away.
Just talking about Shaq.
Shut your mouth.
Let's see. Hey, Jet, let's see. Who's this from?
Let's see. Hey, Jet.
My Two Cents, and it's from Alex in Falmouth.
How come I smell exhaust?
Maybe not a topic for discussion on air. Oh, okay.
Why'd that stop you? Let's go. You've never stopped before, and I don't want to start now.
Carol's not watching us like a zoo exhibit.
It's an email about how other sports radio shows in other cities are formulaic.
We are not formulaic, I don't think.
In that we're different because we're not.
We're unscripted and out of bounds.
Yep.
But I do want to come back with
a lot of things, but... formulaic isn't one of them because we don't do anything.
It's not an Eric
regularly.
Salvino feature.
The only thing we do is the picks on Thursday.
And we sometimes forget those and have to do those in the John Rook portion of the show.
I mean, we're not slaves to the clock. Some days we don't even take any breaks.
Well, it gets to the
sometimes
end.
Sometimes we jump into the next show.
You
got to
get the hell out today,
minutes.
Though.
Why?
We got a good playbook. We got John Clayton and Don Banks from SI.
Oh, Don
nice.
Banks, rock solid.
I don't want to offend a guest that's coming on, but John Clayton's terrible.
Don Banks is rock solid. He's very, very good.
It's better
good.
Than Pro Football Focus,
Don,
that way.
Don Banks is very,
very
good.
I tried to
woo him to PFW a couple years ago.
Did you?
Woo him?
Contractually, he was unable to do that.
Right.
He was. That's true.
That's what he said.
No, for a columnist.
Oh, no. For
not
a column.
Full time.
A communist.
You think I want you to hire him?
No, I'm talking about just as a columnist.
Yes, him and Adam Schefter both I tried to get, and they contractually couldn't do it.
I think that's their excuse.
Yeah, because those guys aren't into making extra money on the side. You're right.
By cutting and pasting something that they've already written somewhere and they're just going
to
read.
Alex says, my point is that they were talking about something that doesn't really have to do anything with sports or blah, blah. It's all those other stations are so canned and phony. And if I had to point to one thing that makes the four of you interesting to listen to day in and day out, it's that you're real. You are yourselves on the program. No posturing, no hype. No one trying to fill a particular role or raise a topic just to generate buzz. I don't do that. Except maybe when you do your point-counterpoint segment on the PFTV show, which does seem forced a lot of the time, frankly. I hope that you can keep that as you go forward.
No, Andy usually yells at me like that on a regular basis.
PFTV show?
Don't screw up the chemistry in search for higher and higher ratings, Andy.
Well, if the ratings were going higher and higher, I wouldn't be looking to change it. They plummeted 26%
a month. He wants to blow the show up.
That was nice of that.
It is true, though. Every once in a while, we come in with like a topic that we think we're going to discuss and argue about, and it never works. Well, and then somehow an argument breaks out about something separate from the topic.
I'll give you an example today. You know, the Boston Herald had a major columnist came out of the closet today. You know, he wrote a column saying that he was gay.
Who?
And Steve Buckley.
Oh,
I was surprised that none of our listeners, because I mean, there's enough that I would imagine that's somewhat gone national at this point.
Oh, I would think.
And I'm surprised that none of our listeners have brought it up. I thought that was something that we'd talk about a little bit today. And here we are, what, an hour into the show?
Fellow UMass
grad. Haven't touched it.
I've talked to Buck a bunch of times.
Yeah, well, Buck's a good guy.
He came to UMass and gave like a seminar on journalism when I was there. And I met him. He was the man. It helped inspire my young career.
I got to be careful.
Yeah, be careful, Andy.
Well, I can't be myself because I really like Buck. Normally, I'd be making snide comments.
Dan writes in early in the season, perhaps after the
There's
loss.
There's no problem doing his other colleagues around here.
Dan writes in.
I said I like Buck.
Early in the season, perhaps after the loss of the Jets, Bill Simmons said on his podcast, the Patriots suck and that their ceiling is 10-6. I stopped listening to his podcast after that.
Good.
It seems the alleged Boston sports guy has been in L.A. too long. What do you guys think?
He's a fraud.
He's a fraud?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think Bill Simmons only knows about the NBA, personally. I used to work with him at the Herald. Good guy, but I think he is...
You're going to hug at the Super Bowl again this year.
Probably
in Dallas, you'll probably wrap around him.
I probably will see him at the Super Bowl this year in Dallas.
Hump his leg a little.
Wrap around him.
I don't know about wrapping around him.
Hump his leg.
But I think he is extraordinarily talented writer, but I think his knowledge of the game is limited to the NBA. I think he knows more about the NBA than virtually anyone, but I don't really respect much of his other opinions.
How? Have you told him this?
Do I have to do that in order to not be a fraud?
I didn't say that.
I just want the Andy Hart rules out in the open.
I didn't say that, Paul. I just asked if you've told him that. Because you guys worked together. You were friends. I didn't know if you were honest with him.
I know if I had, well, when we were friends, he wasn't, you know. Yeah, actually, to be honest with you, yeah. I used to rip him all the time about his opinions, but he wasn't writing for, you know, the worldwide leader at the time.
Yeah. Well.
Tim Tebow live on SportsCenter for anyone who cares.
Now he's telling me how Mo Vaughn
stunk.
Now
you're on his pay no mind list, right?
Mo Vaughn stunk. We used to have rants about Mo Vaughn all the time.
Well, he did stink.
Oh, yeah.
He's the stinkiest MVP ever.
Right.
Owen in Belfast says,
wait, he
Fred,
stinks,
just,
but Brandon Merriweather's an average safety?
Yep. Quick update. Strippers emailed me and said he wanted to clear his name. He did not post the Scalavino entries on Urban Dictionary.
That's what the
email
said.
No, it was probably
Gary.
No.
It probably was Gary. Probably
the
was
guy
Gary.
Who hates you. Karthik.
I know I have to clarify.
I know. Yeah.
The guy who hates you.
I'm sorry, I'm not familiar.
No, who's Kamani?
Kamani, yeah. I knew there was a weird name. Right?
Kamani.
I don't know.
There's a lot of people that hate you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing that Tim Tebow managed to throw 3 touchdown passes in 2 games when Tom Brady only threw 4 all year? I mean, God.
Interceptions.
What did I say?
Touchdown passes.
Yeah. No, interceptions.
Wow.
God West and God East.
I'm rooting for Tim
Tebow. I've never seen a winner lose. Is Tom Brady not a winner? Because he lost the biggest game he ever played in Super Bowl 42.
Well, we all know Tom Brady's a winner.
Exactly. That's my point. Winners can lose.
Right.
Champ Bailey promoting this guy as the second coming or third coming or whatever
John
you want to call
John Elway looks old, Freddie.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. A little tired.
And he's failed at everything he's done, hasn't he? You know, aside from winning Super Bowls.
I was going to say, what?
Well, no, like, didn't he have an arena league that failed? Didn't he have a dealership that failed?
No,
his
no he sold
failed.
It. His he dealership. Sold the dealership.
He made a ton of money.
Yeah, he made a killing on it.
I was actually
I don't know
thinking
about, the
about
league,
buying a car from him and having it shipped out here.
Why?
Just to say you bought a car from John Elway?
Oh, my God, you're a loser. Don't ever make fun of me for liking Bo Jackson again.
And when he bought it, he was going to send his Elway shirt to be autographed so he could get it back.
Side note, Bo Jackson is going to be an honorary captain at the
Did you already get that email?
Really?
Yeah.
They're going to wheel him out?
Him and Ahmad Rashad.
I didn't know if you got those emails.
Ahmad Rashad's not his real name, right?
I believe it's Bobby Parks.
Yeah, he changed it.
So when he played,
he converted.
Ahmad Rashad or Barbie?
When he got to
the Vikings, right?
I think he started his career in Buffalo.
Did he play with Busta Rhymes?
From Oklahoma?
Who played for
the
Vikings,
Oklahoma
I think,
wide receiver?
Too. That'd be cool if they were both on the same team. There was a Busta Rhymes, Eric. A real Busta Rhymes. Well, I don't know. If it was.
Buster?
Yeah, it was Buster.
Yeah.
Buster Rhymes was his name?
Yeah.
Really? I didn't know that.
My guess is
Father of Leanne.
I think he may have been mug shot in the NFL, period.
Brother of Ving?
Rames.
Let's see. Owen at Belfast. Pro Football Talk is reporting that signs continue to point toward the Dolphins landing Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, dollar signs.
Head coach.
Dolphins. They've offered him most money in football.
Really?
Now, Fred, I was kidding, but Bill should ask for a raise.
How do you know how much he's making?
Well,
Robert?
The Forbes report was it was $7.5 million
a year. They don't know. They don't know.
I think they know.
Dude's coming out of college getting 7.2 million.
In all seriousness, his contract should. Remember how the college coaches do it?
Yeah.
Like Les Miles has to make like X amount more than the next highest paid. That's what Bill should be.
Absolutely.
And I'm all for it.
Sure.
I mean, we talk about a million things on the show. He's by far the best coach in football, and some chump out of college who didn't even win a national title
ridiculous.
In college is going to make $8 million
That's
a year.
That's why these owners need to be saved from themselves.
Seriously.
It's true.
And I don't even get the star power. People are saying, like, Harbaugh has like star power and he'll help with the whole, you know, entertainment shtick in Miami. Why?
What's he going to do? Song and dance?
Tom Brady named
it. Yeah, seriously.
Well,
what the hell
is he going to
do?
Little soft shoe?
Yeah.
Is he even that entertaining?
Does he do magic tricks?
Does he have Bill Parcells type press conferences?
Yeah, what does he
little
do?
Breaking news, Tom Brady, AFC Offensive Player of the Month for
all
December.
Right. Very good, very good.
So he won. Didn't he win another one for the month? October, maybe?
Might have been October.
Why don't you check it? Probably says it there.
Just snaps at her.
That wasn't a
snap.
Seriously.
Just check it. Why don't you just check
that
it?
That was not a snap.
Wow.
I'll let you know I'm snapping, my friend, as you would say.
Okay. Owen is saying that he doesn't know much about Harbaugh. How good is he? And if he comes to the ACE, should we be worried?
No. You have the best coach in football.
The track record for those college coaches going to the NFL is not good. So, therefore, I agree with Andy.
Named player of the month, October of 2009. and twice in 07. He won, I think, a Player of the Week award.
I know he won a week.
I thought he had a month.
He won 2 weeks in a row, didn't he? Yeah, he won 2 weeks in a row. It was for the
Detroit
game, and what was the one after that?
I forget.
Two different months, maybe.
But he had the two perfect games almost in a row. Those are the 2 weeks he was
definitely
named.
I think I was just assuming when you won two in
they
a row,
were,
you would get a month.
Because I think it was Detroit and the Jets. And
so that's
Detroit and the
was
Jets.
November,
that's right.
And the other one was December.
That's
Jets.
How dumb those awards are.
Brooklyn Matt says, happy birthday, Eric, the class of
Thank
In
you.
Progress.
Let's talk about it.
Who else on a Pats road trip in Pittsburgh goes on a nice morning swim and takes a leisurely stroll through the Andrew Carnegie Museum? Eric Scalavino does. Eric Scalavino, the straw that stirs the otherwise stagnant in-progress drink.
Oh, that's what Paul likes to call himself.
Whenever
only when I'm on TV, I can't say it.
Whenever he enters the studio dressed in his fashionable daily ensembles, happy birthday and many more offsetting the other three stooges' chicanery with your highbrow presence. Tally-ho and champagne wishes.
Very well read, Fred. Good job there. I like the effort you put in.
Who was
that
douchebag?
That's Brooklyn Matt.
Oh, I was right.
Oh,
come on now.
Excellent.
Thank you, Brooklyn Matt. Appreciate the props.
Earlier we were talking about
few and far between.
What would happen if the 01 Patriots played the 2010, and Todd says he played 10 times at Gillette, with the 2010 being the home team 5 times. Games 1 through 5, and the 2001 team being the home team.
Boy, am I
five
sorry
times.
I brought that up.
You should have alternated. You shouldn't have done 1 to 5.
Same type of playbook, balanced, as opposed to favoring runner pass or West Coast, with the weather being 70 degrees with no wind or precipitation.
That's how Paul likes his games, too.
The 2010 Pats won 9 out of 10 games with an average score of 30 points per game, whereas the 2001 points scored an average of 14 points. Here is the website. It's pretty fun to do. It's called What If Sports.
So we were right, Fred.
Well, that's one simulation, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I really think the 2010 would cream them.
Simulations are pretty
foolish.
That's
what that went with.
Because they both have Belichick as the coach, so, you know.
So why would he only be good for the 2010?
Because he has better
version?
Players in 2010.
See, that's where I disagree.
You disagree?
Yeah, well, by a lot.
Oh.
By a lot. I really don't even think it's comparable.
What?
I don't.
I think he's drunk.
Really do. Somebody spike that Pepsi.
The big
holy crap.
The big X factor is what Andy said at the very – well, you might have said it,
I
Fred.
Said it.
Brady.
He gets mad. When he makes a point, you better give him credit.
Before I even said
They're
what
so
the point
rare
was.
On this show.
Well, I know. It's the Brady point.
Yeah. Brady is obviously at a level that dwarfs what he was in 01. That's the X factor. That's kind of hard to determine.
The flaw the other X factor and the flaw with your argument is – you have history to go on for all the players on the 01 team.
But they were done at the time. They were all veterans.
No, they weren't.
Oh, for the most part, they were.
Like Mike Vrabel became an all-pro linebacker out of nothing.
How much, though?
Okay.
How much
about... But I was talking more about the Richard Rick Lyles and the Anthony Pleasants
right.
and
but,
the Lawyer Malloys.
But you're giving him
Otis
credit
Smiths
for being what
guys.
He is, a dominant defensive lineman, right?
Right.
What if Rob Gronkowski and Devin McCourty are Hall of Famers? Right?
No, you're just giving them credit for where they were at that time point in time.
Then I think this team is light years.
So
about,
do I.
What about
I agree with you, Ian.
What about Belichick? How much better a coach is he today than he was in 10 years ago?
Oh, I think much more sure of himself and his decisions. Well, absolutely.
He might be a better coach, but he ain't any more sure of himself.
Well,
that's impossible.
He's been pretty cocksure all his life.
Well,
that's
the right time.
I'm not going
to
get in trouble.
I'm not going to guarantee that, but
I think it, you know, it's the same thing.
Listen,
you know, Bill Belichick is as good as it comes, but he gets better with better players, and I think now they have better players.
Yeah, I would.
The argument is on defense. That's the major issue.
Well, you don't have Willie McGinnis
or Mike Vrabel or Ty Law.
Yeah,
or Teddy Bruschi or Ted Johnson or Richard Seymour.
I mean, there's a serious argument to be made that defense is
significantly
better.
Forget the defense.
But
that's
I think
you can't even talk about.
Okay, so
better.
Then let's just pit the 2010 Patriots offense against the 2001 Patriots defense.
Right.
Who would?
But it's all about.
I think the 2010 Patriots offense is good enough to beat that good defense.
I
okay,
do too.
So you think the 2010 Patriots offense is better than the 2001 St. Louis Rams?
Oh, absolutely.
Offense?
Not overall.
I think you're out of your mind.
Not overall, no. But it's the same thing. I think if the Rams played that Patriots defense 10 times, 9 of them they'd probably blow them out of the bleeping water, just like they did for short points in the Super Bowl. So I think this offense is close to that.
You think
I think this is a good offense.
You think it's close to the 2001 Rams?
Yeah. I don't think it's as good, but I'm sorry. When you go 16-game season and score X amount of points, You're in the conversation. I don't care what you think of individual talent or whatever. The group as a whole is one of the highest scoring offenses in the history of the league.
I think they scored about 150 points less than that Rams team did on offense.
Oh, I don't think so.
Oh, just on offense?
Yeah.
That may be true.
I don't know about
that.
Set
a franchise record for returns.
And those Rams teams had good turnover defenses. So I'm guessing they had some touchdowns.
But Warner threw like a million touchdowns, too.
I know.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
I think Paul might be right.
I don't think there's that much of a difference.
The X factor is Fred's point, and I might lose on that. I mean, Brady is so much better today than he was then, such a bigger part of the offense.
And that's why I picked them, because he's facing a crappy defense for the 2010 Patriots.
Man for man, the
but
other
I'm not
52
sure he's
guys.
Capable of putting up a lot of points.
I'm sorry, I think that 2001 team had it all over this team, man for man, the rest of the way.
Maybe we're underestimating 0-1. Maybe that's because of 0-1 they were so successful in 0-3 and 0-4, just building on those guys.
Well,
maybe.
That was part of
but
it.
They,
but
they turned a lot of it over, too.
They did.
Yeah.
They did.
So, I mean.
But that defense remained intact.
But they were
better. That's what it is. To me, it's this
and
year's offense versus last year's defense.
And that's what Paul's talking about, man-to-man on the defense.
They were good enough that year,
no,
but they were
the
better in 0-3
well,
and,
see,
and
I,
better
I think
in
0-4. That offense was littered with Jags, far more than this offense.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think this offense has good players on it.
I mean, the kicker.
I think Deion Branch and Wes Welker are good players. I think Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez are good players.
Yes.
They're not Jags who'll be out of the league. That team had Jags who'll be out of the league.
All right.
Wide receivers were like Fred Coleman, right?
David Patton and Troy Brown.
Troy
were
Brown.
Every bit as good as Wes Welker
and
Deion
Branch. I'm trying to compare. I'm trying to go down the list there.
You know, I'll give you the tight ends. I mean, that's
yeah, definitely
I'll
the
give
tight
you Gronkowski, Hernandez,
that's
and Crumpler. Well, I don't think it's a blow, but I'll give you that over their tight ends.
What about the?
I mean, Rutledge was certainly comparable to Algie Crumpler as a blocker. He was
what about
great.
The running game?
I'm
comparing the pass catchers.
The pass catchers
Antoine
are better,
Smith?
But Jermaine Wiggins was outstanding as a pass catcher in the playoffs.
Antoine Smith, Kevin Falk.
Antoine Smith is better than Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis. Kevin Falk is better than Danny Woodhead.
Sure.
The
especially at that
the
time.
Offensive line
at that
is,
time
is comparable.
I think the offensive
comparable.
Line's better now, but yeah.
I mean, certainly Sebastian Vollmer is better than Greg Robinson Randall.
What about the
question.
Depth?
And Matt Light is Matt Light.
Anywhere?
The yeah.
Depth?
Right.
Overall?
Matt Light was
yeah.
probably better then, believe it or not.
But he got taken out of that game, so he didn't get Grant Williams, right?
He did get hurt in that game, didn't he?
Matt Light's
that's
better,
not,
than,
that's
Matt Light's better
argument,
than Grant Williams.
But that's not my
I
argument.
Can prove it. He started over Grant Williams.
To Bucky
Damian
Jones versus
Damian Woody's
Brandon
better than Dan Conley.
Damian Woody is better, unless you need to shotgun
I'll take
snap.
Tabucky Jones.
Really?
Yep.
Are you kidding me?
Really?
I missed it. What was the question?
Tabucky Jones or Brandon Merriweather? I'd say I would take Tabucky Jones. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't even want to get into Lawyer Malloy because I know Fred will get all mad unless he sees
hey, lawyer
in person.
Back then he was okay.
But you got Jimmy, I mean, on this one.
I think it's more comparable than you guys.
How about Matt Stevens' wife?
Ooh.
Let's see. Sam in Chicago says, thanks for the show. Nice to chat with you guys yesterday. I'll send another cake for Eric's birthday, but I have the feeling that there's something amiss. I sent cakes as my goodwill gesture for thanks toward the show. It's a more economical thanks than lunch for the whole crew.
Not if you send multiple cakes.
Let me know.
Not if you call when I'm not here.
And where is the cake? Did he really send one?
Let me know if you'd like one for the old man, or I'll just buy lunch sometime in dedication of Eric's 38 candles.
Okay. Save the lunch. Put him on the lunch list. Hey, Facebook boy. Put him on the lunch list.
Is he on Facebook?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Gotcha. I was listening.
I want to get the cake, though.
How many guys use Facebook? Isn't that more of a...
Paul does. Eric does.
We had a
Facebook account.
I have an account.
I
don't really use it, though.
You don't remember...
I have an account, but I have to have it for work, and I don't post to it.
Okay, so
you do
the same
thing we do.
Well, what do you do?
I've never posted on it.
Why do you have an account?
Just to have it.
Because you get in touch... Because people that you haven't been in touch with in a while.
I originally went on it for research.
You have zero friends.
I'm not surprised.
Me neither. I'm not surprised either.
No, the only reason I have it is so I can have an account and I can check things on the web.
I originally made an account to do research for my book.
The whole point is to interact.
But I've never posted not even one time.
Do you have any friends on it?
I have friends.
Yeah, I have no friends on mine.
But I mean, the whole point was.
Why do you
post
need
an
to Facebook then?
So I would get in touch with people.
You need to have an
research.
Account to do certain things on Facebook.
Why do you need
to
do things on Facebook?
You have to be registered with Facebook in order to like things.
And that's
for
all.
Example.
That's all I did.
Yeah.
Is I made an account. Yeah. I've never posted, not even once.
I don't have any friends. Zero. I ignore.
Matter
of
fact, I don't think I would know how to post something. I've
never been to Facebook.
I've answered people.
Never seen it.
Like a lot of listeners to this show have
right.
friended me on Facebook, and I answer them when they ask me, you know.
And by the way,
they post something, I answer them back.
Right, and so, and if anyone out there is listening has tried to friend me, the reason I don't do it with anyone, don't take it personally. All right.
I don't see why you would take that personally. I don't do it with anyone. Don't take it personally.
No, I
hate everyone. I don't see why you would take that personally.
If you friend somebody and they say no, doesn't that, aren't you like, why? I wonder why they don't want to be my friend. Right, don't you?
I'm not an artard.
Yeah. I mean, don't.
If I know the person, I hit confirm.
I know, but
if I don't know them, I ignore it.
So if Dave Dudek friended you, you
well, but
confirm.
See, the thing, Paul, is a lot of the people who listen to this show.
To the rules. There's one person that, I know that I would ignore.
A lot of the people that tried to friend me, I know, and I said no.
It's because you're a jerk. Most of, tell you?
I don't have any. I don't want to get.
You
into
don't
that.
Have any friends. We know
well, that, but I don't want to.
Virtual
get
or not, you have no friends. The other weird thing is a lot of people who listen to this show know us and know us by name, and they'll send a friend request. Without saying who they are. So you just get a random name that you've never heard of that wants to be your friend.
Yeah.
And unless they send a little personal message saying, hey, I'm a listener to the show.
They don't send like Sam in Chicago.
Right. Exactly. you know, if you see a name you don't recognize, I'm not
Zach
just going to add them. Because,
but generally, I look at their friend list and I see if I know other friends
sort of,
that they have. And
yeah,
I
you
say,
can
okay,
sort of
I
figure
know,
it out. But,
them.
You know, it'd be a little bit more personal if you said, hey, I'm so-and-so.
I don't need them to be more personal. I spend as little time on it as possible.
Then you don't need to accept them as friends then.
Paul's kind of antisocial in his social network.
All right.
He's antisocial network.
It's research.
It's if you're from Northeastern, though, bing, you're on.
Yeah.
there's a few of my loser group from there are on there.
135, we need to take a break. We haven't taken one yet. Let's do that, and we'll get to the picks eventually. There's only four games.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's gotta be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. 508-543-7482.
Right. What was Moose making fun of him for? He ended a segment the other day with,
we'll see. Well, we'll see.
You finished a segment with, well, we'll see.
Web radio at patriots.com. What are we talking about? The playoffs.
He finishes about three segments of show with that. Well, we'll see.
It's either all right or we'll see. He's not happy.
Tick, tick, tick.
F Moose. F Len Mead.
Hey!
Oh. I'm not supposed to say that.
I'm only kidding. They know I'm kidding. I don't know.
You've never met Len Mead.
I have met Len Mead.
I don't think I have.
I have. Back when our ratings were killing, he used to say hi every week when I went
into the first office. It used to be, you know, there's a hierarchy, and he slid into the top one.
Dan of Virginia says, last night Trent Dilfer was on SportsCenter talking about the Vince Young situation. He said that the Titans were going to need to look elsewhere for the quarterback of the future. The only name of a potential QB of the future he mentioned was Brian Hoyer. Dilfer said that he expects there to be substantial interest in Hoyer from QB needy teams this offseason. This idea is ridiculous, right?
Is he serious?
Yes.
I think Dilfer's a decent analyst, but I just thought this comment was laughable.
It was.
You don't think
first of all, I'm not sure that the Patriots would be looking to deal him. Right? He's
what
the
are
only
you talking
backup.
About, Willis?
Yeah, Jonathan Crompton doesn't.
I'm not sure that they. Well, I mean, I suppose you're right about that. He is not, there is another one on the roster, but I don't think the Patriots, unless they were to be bowled over.
What does that mean?
Two first-round picks.
I mean, to me, a second-round pick for a backup quarterback would be getting bowled over, and I don't think anybody would offer that for a guy who's never played.
Why? I don't understand why anyone would be interested in.
No, that's my point. I don't think anybody.
Has he ever shined?
Exactly.
I told you on the radio last week. Earlier this week, I heard Felger and Maz talking about, you know, there's no doubt that that's a 10-6 team if Brian Hoyer played. Wow. I don't know what they're basing it on. One throw? I mean, because he's never played. What are they basing this on?
Right. He came in and he didn't throw up on himself.
But he kind of did for a little while.
Well, when they threw him in that first thing, he did.
That's my point.
All of a sudden, the other team just started blitzing the hell out of him, and he didn't know what to do.
When it was 35-7, he threw a bomb for a touchdown. I mean, great throw.
He gets lifted by Matt Castle.
Congratulations.
There's the assumption, well, okay, he's next in the Matt Castle line. That's part of
it. Sure.
And I think
he gets lifted by the Patriot way.
And I think it's unfair to Hoyer because Castle was around for 4 years.
Right. True.
You know, I think to expect Hoyer to be at that level is unfair.
Joel and Merrimack, hey guys, hey Eric. It's looking to be pretty good.
He changed the delivery there. Did you appreciate the change in delivery a little bit?
No.
It's looking to be pretty good new year for the Patriots. After watching the Ravens, Colts, and Saints in the last week, I'm no longer worried about things as much. Let's face it, the Saints have become one-dimensional. Both the Ravens and Colts struggle to beat crappy teams that the Pats just rolled. I am now at the pleasant point where I really don't care who we face. I'm just looking forward to 3 games to glory 4. And I guess I'm a little interested in how Marshall Faulk will invent reasons to pick any team the Pats face. He is such a joke. So here's my question. If Brady wins his fourth, will that push him into the Montana argument? I think it does. In fact, I think you can make the argument that he is the best to ever play the position. What do you guys think?
He's already in the discussion.
Oh, yeah, they've already put him up there with best ever.
Yeah.
Well, they haven't made him best ever.
No, but he's in the discussion.
And he'll never be best ever, just flat out. Well, I mean, I guess if he wins like 3 in the next 3 years, but it's always going to be a debate because people will debate different things. It's not just Montana.
No, if he wins 3 in
arm
the next
strength
3 years,
and
the best.
Yeah.
you get Marino and Elway in the mix.
I'm with Andy. There'll always be a debate on something like that because not everybody has the same criteria.
And it's what's made the Jerry Rice thing so that's virtually unanimous that people say Jerry Rice is the greatest receiver to ever play the game. That's a rarity. That doesn't really happen.
Yeah, I think there'll always be a debate. But I already think that Brady's in that debate.
Sure. Oh, yeah. And there'd be a little bit less of a debate if they'd won in 07 because he'd have four for four.
Absolutely.
And he'd be 5 for 5.
And he'd be 5 for 5.
You know, because we're presuming he's going to win 3 games in a row this year, January, February.
Mark Testacini says, although I hate the fact I'm saying this, I think the best outcome for this weekend be for the Jets to beat the Colts, which is doubtful.
Which they will.
And the Ravens to beat the Chiefs. The Ravens and Steelers could then get into a physical game that would benefit the Patriots in the AFC Championship. That said, the Patriots will more likely face the Ravens in the divisional playoff.
That is true.
They would beat the snot out of each other.
Yep. That would be – that's perfect.
Yep.
Assuming you win.
Sam says that there's an Andy
Hart –
I think that having those
two teams beat each other up.
On Facebook. Yeah, yeah. And apparently
– relatively common name.
Apparently he likes both men and women. Oh, and here's the picture. He's wearing a nice little Burberry scarf. Andy Hart.
I'm sure there's others.
Gotta find Mrs. Andy Hart like I did.
You're gonna let him get away
with that?
Yeah,
you're gonna let him get away with that?
No, but I'm gonna get fired if I get away.
No, you won't. Fred's here.
Do I have permission to hit him like I have that guy in ops?
You can't hit anybody.
You gave him permission to hit that guy in ops.
You did once give him permission.
You kind of set the precedent. You told me
at team ops.
You said whether his glasses are on or not, I can punch him.
I don't remember that.
Oh, that's absolutely.
I have.
We
have not.
Oh
yeah,
they were there.
I have no recollection.
Because I actually
that's different.
And I said, "Quote Fred, I can't hit him." And you said, "And I said, because I'll get fired." And you said, "You won't get fired. Don't worry, you can hit him."
And I actually had a follow up conversation with him saying, I wouldn't trust that one if I were you. He'll cut you loose in a heartbeat.
He will.
Because he'll suddenly have no recollection.
I do not recall, Jonathan.
Oh, well.
Did you order the code red?
What happened? Somebody yelled at you or something?
Let's not get into it.
We need to get into it any further than we already
have. Into enough detail.
We already mentioned the department and
his glasses.
Somewhat of his appearance.
Hamza in Toronto says, Eric, has he been by yet? Yes, he has. He's here. Been a long time since I rode in, half a season almost. But like a loyal PFW soldier, I've been keeping up with the podcast and following curse words, which, by the way, gets funnier every week. Fred always assumes people are watching the game along with him, which I usually am. A couple of weeks ago, however, I wasn't near a TV and was using curse words to follow the game. Halfway through the first quarter, Fred exclaims, "What was that?" and gives no explanation. To which I naturally responded, having no idea what just happened. What indeed, Fred, was that? Did they go for it in 4th and 2? Did Tom Brady get a mohawk on the sideline? Did a streaker run onto the field? What happened? But of course, he didn't post any response. Just giving you a hard time, Fred. Curse words was just one of your many great ideas. You truly are the MVP of web-based Patriots radio programming. Anyway,
Patriots.
It's been that's really narrowing it down.
Yeah, that's narrowing it down.
You're the best Fred Kirsch there is.
At noon.
Head coach in the modern era.
It's been a great season, and lately I've been getting
Paul
that
Perillo.
Super Bowl feeling. I just pity the other teams in the league who are now probably thinking, oh, great, we try to rebuild and it takes years. They rebuild and it takes 3 weeks. How do they stay competitive every year? It's amazing how this team has somehow set themselves up for a whole new era of dominance with the past 2 drafts and 6 picks. In the top 90 next year will only help. And since it is the bye week, I thought I'd recap my 3 favorite PFW moments of the season. You guys ready?
Go.
Yes.
Wow, yeah, sure.
I was really watching Carmen Electra. But
I didn't know this email was so long.
Nothing bye about that.
Game in Chicago, not because of the game, which was a blow up, but because of all the scuff ball versus smooth ball talk on PFW. We'll go right to the next one. 2, how wrong everyone was. I'm not going to accuse Andy of saying 6-10 because I have no evidence for it. But even
there is no evidence.
That's
the record that was most commonly associated with him.
Even I, who thinks the team will go 16-0 every season just because I go undefeated in Madden, didn't think that they had any chance of going 14-2. The best of all predictions, though, was Eric. Dynasty over, huh, Eric?
Yep.
Brady overrated, huh?
Idiot.
No playoffs for a couple years, huh? Congratulations on being wronger than everyone else. But don't feel bad when Fred says 11-5. That's like 6-10 in non-homer speak.
Wait, didn't Eric actually say
8-8, no playoffs?
No. More importantly, none of us will still be working here when they win the Super Bowl again.
He grossly overestimated.
He said it to me.
I can't get out.
I remember he was trying to stunt my growth.
The only one
will be here
is
when
Kevin.
They get rid of the AFC and NFC. So
I might outlast the Kraft.
You're in for the long haul, Andy. Don't worry about it.
Paul will be like, "Yes, Harry."
Cream two sugars, Harry. No problem.
And finally, PFW TV. I watched it for the first time a few weeks ago, and I have to say, I was severely traumatized. The horror. Prior to that, I didn't know what you guys actually looked like. I had only heard Andy describe Fred and Paul as old and fat and had heard scarcely believable stories about Andy's specimen-like head. Anyway, it was like seeing superheroes without their costumes, except these superheroes had, let's just say, let themselves go a little. Hey, you guys are like the A-team, except it's what the A-team would look like now, not then. And yes, I am aware that George Peppard is dead.
Fred is George Peppard.
Yeah.
Right.
He loves it when a plan comes.
We are a hell of a lot older. Well, Andy's not, but Fred and I are a hell of a lot older than the A-team.
That's all. Lots of love. Keep up the great work. And sorry for the long email. Andy, this one's for you. Charles Davis on NFL Network just praised Brady for spreading the ball around this year by saying, with Brady, everybody gets to touch it a little bit.
So in this comparison, Andy would probably have to be face.
No, he's
would be face.
No. He's
B.A. Baracus?
No, he's T-Bone. What's his name?
Murdoch?
T-Bone!
No.
There are only four of them.
There's only four.
That's B.A. Baracus.
Oh, yeah, he's Baracus, right?
T-Bone.
No, he'd probably have to be.
I've never watched the show, so I have no idea.
No, because B.A. was an ornery,
badass.
Cranky badass.
B.A. stands for badass.
Right, but that would probably have to be Paul, because he's known for picking fights.
Yeah.
But he's fat and white.
But we all are white.
And doesn't have a mohawk.
No, but he's got a sort of a reverse mohawk going on there.
A side
Andy's
hog,
not
right?
Andy's not playing he's right. He's not. You don't have to actually look exactly like the guy.
Oh, no, but that wouldn't make his little jokes funny. Don't you understand how Andy works?
Now, do we have a second for serious football here?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. We have to stop.
Yeah.
No, but mixed in that email, I think the Chiefs are the. I point to them as like the glaring example of how good you have it in New England. This is now like the third installment of the Chiefs as a playoffs team. With bottoms in between in the time that the Patriots have been great. You remember there was the Priest Holmes.
Right.
Well, there was the Herm Edwards in the middle where they were a middling playoff team.
They sucked like they do now.
But they're a playoff team.
Yep.
And they bottomed out before that, and they bottomed out after that, and back in the Priest Holmes. Who the hell was the coach then? Dick Vermeil? No.
Dick Vermeil. Yeah.
When they were like a 14-2 team or a top of the conference type team.
I don't think they were ever that good while the Patriots were.
Really? I thought they
run.
Were 13-3 or 14-2.
That's Marty Schottenheimer, Chiefs of the 90s.
But three different times they've gone up and down while the Patriots
The Trent Green Chiefs were decent. They were a playoff team.
Yeah, he had a couple years where he was putting up some numbers, Trent Green.
They had one really good year when the Patriots were good. I think they were like 13-3.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Or
I'm
12.
I'm off by one game and he
or 12 and, said, no, but... I think it's Vermeil's Chiefs.
Okay,
with Priest
since 2000, you want to go with?
Sure.
In the Belichick era, 2000, they were 7-9, 6-10, 8-8, and 0-2. Okay, 2003, they were 13-3.
Yeah, Andy's right.
Okay,
and then they got some suck. Coming.
And that was with Trent Green as their quarterback.
Now they're going to suck.
They were 7-9 the next year with Trent Green as their starting quarterback.
Hello.
10-6 and 0-5 with Trent Green as their starting quarterback. 9-7 and 0-6 with a combination of Green and Damon Heward as their starting quarterback.
That was the year Heward threw one pick, right?
Yeah. And we're terribly excited.
The year New England went undefeated, they were 4-12, then 2-14, and then this is the 09 media guide. So
they stunk last year.
Yeah, they stunk last year too. So
They're back in the playoffs
now
as
they're back in the
playoffs. Dominant Super Bowl contender.
Derek,
go Chiefs!
Derek from the University of Arizona just found a tweet by the Jets urine stream. And the tweet is Rex Ryan praises Manning, says he studies more than any QB. Quote, I know Brady thinks he does, but it's Peyton Manning. So Rex Ryan has to take a shot at Tom Brady.
And it's true. Brady takes the months of March through June off.
So what do you know? How do you know he's not studying during that time?
He's studying his wife's grapes.
Yeah.
Grapes?
Remember she was feeding him grapes, or he was feeding her grapes?
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking.
Whereas Peyton Manning is studying the playbook.
Yeah, I happen to know that
Masai
Peyton Manning takes
time
off too.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
How do you happen to know it?
Because I was talking to somebody who was in a restaurant next to him down in the Caribbean, with his wife arguing over the check.
No, were they really?
Yeah.
Wait a minute, what were they? This is far more interesting than anything you've ever said.
She got into it with him, and he yelled at her for spending too much money.
How's that an argument over the check?
Well, you know what I mean, about money.
At a restaurant?
So you misrepresented him because he's a cult.
I mean, it wasn't loud. They
so
were
was
right
he like,
next to him.
You had an appetizer, so you can't get a dessert?
No, it wasn't like that. They got into some beef about something. He's like, well, you're always out spending money.
Oh, okay, so it wasn't really about the check.
She probably just came back from spending like $5,000 on like a
that I can
bracelet.
See. That I thought he was literally
the point
like,
is,
the
he's
food.
Not always at the facility.
Right. You should have had the salad instead of the entree.
Fred, you're right. He does go
on vacation.
He
actually does take a vacation, yes.
Thank you.
Doesn't last 6 months like Brady's, but.
Okay, so now we're going to get back on that.
I'm with you, Fred.
Good God.
I think we can put that one to rest after this season,
I think so. Especially if they finish it off.
All right, let's get to the picks. Because it's Thursday and there's a couple games coming up this weekend.
All right, final season tallies.
Yeah,
I'm coming.
Like Gerard Mayo, I'm on pace to get better as the season goes on.
As most greats do when they're challenged with the game on the line, I came through and won the week, went 13-3. Andy, Eric, and Fred all went 12-4.
That was a layup week.
With the spread, Fred makes a run and actually ties.
Wow.
With an 11-5 mark, I went 9-7. Eric went 9-7. Andy went 6-10.
Whoa, what happened?
You stink. Season standings, I won it all. 162-94. Eric, 160-96.
Wow.
Andy, 159-97.
I'm coming.
Fred, 149-107.
You stink.
With the spread, hold on.
Hold on.
With the spread, a tie for first between myself and Fred Kirsch. 131.
And that's all that counts.
117-8.
Shut up.
Eric, 130-118-8, just one game
behind.
In third
Damn
place, though.
That's
in
brutal.
Against the spread is what separates
and
the
Andy,
men. The
124,
from the chafe.
124,
chafe.
And 8.
I've always heard chafe.
It's chaff. Chafing is what you get in your shorts,
right.
Fred. The wheat and the chaff are what are separated.
Okay, maybe.
Saddle sores.
Not right. Maybe. Is.
All right, the wheat from the chaff.
Yes.
I'm laughing at Andy. It's like losing control of his bodily functions.
Well, I knew it was coming.
Gave him
I knew it was coming. I knew there was going to be a fight. Anytime there's a under-the-radar word used or something, there's going to be a fight. Because Eric has the way to say it. You know,
chafe. It's not like 2.5. It's
chafe.
2.5.
Chafe.
Chaff.
Chafe.
There's that. Right it looks here. Like a deodorant stick that you put on the inside of your leg now.
Now our friend Damon is going to be all Damien
Julian
is going to be all happy because we use the word hafe
for his banana cup.
Right.
Man in the tailpipe.
Have we confirmed that?
No.
We got that's your job.
Eric,
buddy.
That's
you
your job.
Go
confirm
and
what kind
you're
of
not gonna
cup
fall
that Julian Edelman
the tailpipe.
And we'll get Buck to ask.
Yep.
Oh.
What?
Oh, that's come on now.
I can't believe you just did that. That is
that deserves
so...
two rim. All right, enough.
All right, been a lot of wrong things on this show, but that's the wrongest.
Guys, in there doing a drum me? Roll for Christ's sake.
With then the I... man
with the way in life,
we don't have time.
We have time. There's only four games.
He's not even here yet.
Rook's not even here.
That doesn't mean I'm sticking around until he does.
Okay, the first of the two Saturday games. Andy so Hart really looking forward to this one.
4-8 is that the schedule?
I think it's 4:30.
5:30 or 5-8, isn't it? 8:30, 5-8:30.
Okay, I thought it
what
was 4:30.
Hold
4:30
on,
and
I'll look it up.
And 8 or whatever. But New Orleans at Seattle. The Seahawks are getting 10.5.
Seattle Seahawks are a terrible football team, and they don't deserve to be in the postseason.
Yeah.
And they will lose to the New Orleans Saints. But I'm not sure it's going to be a blowout. I think Seattle's a tough place to play. I think Seattle is much better at home. So I'm going to take those points. Saints win, but I'll take the points in the spread-ish.
I think you're wrong, my friend. New Orleans will go to Seattle, take care of business by 14 to 17 points. It's not going to be close.
Yeah, I'm with Andy. I will take the Saints to win the game, and I think it'll be a lot closer than most people think.
That's a real 12th man.
The Saints are too beat up. They just lost two running backs this week, put on IR, Ivory and Pierre Thomas.
Yeah,
I think they're losing a lot of players. They have to go on the road ridiculously.
Yeah,
and I think it'll be a tough place to play. They will win the game because they're better by a lot.
I
think it'll be closer.
I think the Saints cover because I think their defense is just going to just be relentless. They like to take chances anyway. They're a blitzing team, and they just go crazy on whoever the quarterback is for the Seahawks, and they cover.
Just to get it on the air, Seahawks are winning the game. Just to get a on the record.
Really? What makes you say that?
Just got a feeling.
Who cares? Stop talking to him. Let's move.
Yeah, we don't have time for that.
No, I just wanted to be able.
We
to
don't have time.
Throw
Save it for the AK-47.
One of your
show.
Friends on Facebook tell you that?
No. But it's funny though. The AK-47 is rapidly approaching the amount of followers that PFW has.
You know they're all the same people, right?
Yeah, they are.
Your book and my.
If you
face.
Look at, you can look at them.
Don't go to Facebook.
You're up to 250,000 a month.
Andy's buddy Tracy.
Then you're not catching up to PFW in progress.
Paul
so relax.
Mad.
No, I'm talking
hot.
No, I'm talking about on
Here
Facebook.
We go.
On Facebook.
Here
that's
we
what
go.
I'm talking about.
He's envisioning
you have
Mike
your
Mike as Puerto Rico and beating the hell out of you.
There you go. New York Jets, Andy, at Indianapolis, where the Colts are favored by 2.5.
I'm going to take the Colts to win and cover. They're at home. I don't think they're the more talented football team, but I'm just not going to bet against Peyton Manning in this spot. Jets haven't gotten any pressure. If they don't get any pressure on Peyton Manning, I think he'll make the plays he needs to with whoever he needs to get the ball to make the plays. I don't like the personal thing that Rex Ryan's done. The it's me versus Peyton Manning, and it's well documented, his record versus it's supposed to be Jets Colts.
But I think he's trying to take the pressure off his players.
He's done that well lately.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, he's done that well by.
I've said it before in the show. I'll say
his
it again.
Wife on the internet.
New England is going to host the Jets in the second round because the Jets are going to win the game. They got confidence from last year. They're a better team this year.
Pussy foots around.
The Colts' win streak that miraculously they've gotten with all these injuries is going to come to an abrupt halt this weekend. Jets win the game.
Yeah, I think the Colts blow them out. I don't think this game will be competitive for the reason that Andy stated about the Jets' defense. They can't get near the quarterback. If you can't get near Manning, you can't stop him. And they had, in a perfect situation last year when they went into Indianapolis, playing as well as they could possibly play, swarming with the best defense that we've seen in 5 years, they couldn't be competitive in the second half. The way they're playing now, this game is not going to be competitive for 60 minutes.
I agree, Paul. I'm with it. I'm with you. Colts win the game.
Quick question for our football fans over in England.
UK.
Who's the guy that just made a great save for one of the big teams? Hart? One of the goalies for one of those teams is Hart.
Oh, yeah.
Arsenal, it looked like, maybe. Is that the team that, what's his name, owns?
You are an Arsenal.
They own Liverpool. Red Sox?
Oh. Yeah. Somebody email in, please. I won't get it today because Fred has already shut the computer down and closed it and everything.
Giving it a rest.
Baltimore is at Kansas City, Andy, playing the Super Bowl champion Chiefs.
Chiefs!
Somehow, the Chiefs are underdogs by 3 points.
Yeah, people are stupid. I am going to take the Baltimore Ravens to beat the Kansas City Chiefs.
Wow. What happened to go Chiefs?
Didn't see that one coming.
Because I'm taking the better football team, but doesn't mean the other team doesn't deserve to be in the postseason, didn't have a good season, isn't a good young football team built for playoff football.
Get off your knees.
What?
Enough.
Yeah, right.
I'm not allowed to praise other teams.
You've been doing it for an hour and a half or two.
They're a good
football
team.
Spent
they
the
get
week
no respect.
Saying that they're great.
Mm. Who? You said they're great.
You
great. Not
Chiefs.
Once. Great. Yeah, exactly. They're great.
And you know what? If they win, he'll be taking credit for it.
And I will be. I told you
they were. Pick them. Pick them.
Okay,
pick
I'll take them.
Stick it.
I'll take the Chiefs. Screw you. I'll take the
All
Chiefs
right,
to win.
I already wrote both.
No,
put
I'm
down.
Taking Chiefs.
Well,
put down
erase
Chiefs.
It.
I want the Chiefs.
Erase it.
I want the Chiefs.
No.
Everybody, John Rook,
you're allowed to change.
I want the Chiefs.
You
see me?
Chiefs.
Not
Chiefs.
Did you just flip me off?
Not doing it.
Oh, but if you don't do it, Paul, then there's going to be some controversy no matter which.
Oh, no.
He'll say, I picked them both, and it wasn't in the book.
No matter what, he's
Yeah, exactly.
Covered.
Yeah. Right.
Do you know how he's trying to win the game either way
I
by picking both sides? In my mind, he has just lost the game no matter what
I
happens.
I want the Chiefs.
Because if Baltimore wins, I'm
this
saying, no,
fair.
You had to change it.
This whole
he
damn contest is
he's
ridiculous.
Out.
It's rigged.
Disqualified.
He keeps
Andy
the notebook.
Sucks.
That's how he,
Kevin's
that's
right.
how he cheats.
Oh, he almost did it.
Two-time defending champ, by the way.
Cheat. Exactly, with
and
the notebook
again,
in your hands.
And again, I
it's
leave
rigged.
It open to
it's
any
rigged.
Of the other members of this esteemed
co-champion.
Panel.
On the points.
On the points, co-champion. I leave it up to any of the other members of my esteemed panel here. If you guys want to keep track of the standings next year, you won't be able to say that I cheated.
Okay, Paul, we're sorry.
Thank you.
All right, go ahead, Eric.
I'm going to make on this, the dry erase
thank
board.
You, Fred.
Make this very simple for you, Paul. I'd like to see the Chiefs win, but Baltimore's going to because they are the slightly better team.
Well said, Eric.
Yeah, I don't want to see the Chiefs win. I don't like Scott Pioli. I make no.
I like Matt Castle.
I make no
though.
Bones
Nor do
about
I,
that.
By the way.
I like Matt Castle.
And I like. I do like Matt Castle.
I like Matt
and
Castle.
I like Mike Vrabel.
Romeo couldn't be any nicer.
But I like the
Charlie
Ravens in this game. I think that they are the much better team, but for whatever reason, they haven't played like a much better team this year. But I think they will do so in the playoffs, where they are accustomed to winning away from Baltimore.
Okay, I'm going to pick the Ravens. And let's go to the next game because John is pacing.
How long are we going
pacing.
Here?
He's got a big show lined up with Don
Green
Banks.
Green Bay
and,
at Philadelphia.
Got a really big show keeper. Today.
Philadelphia by 2.5 over the defending Super Bowl champion Packers. What? They
what?
Didn't, they didn't go
what?
To Super Bowl last year? What?
I am going to take the Packers. I don't think Michael Vick's played all that well of late. Seems to be frazzled by the blitzes.
I'm and he's beat up.
Guessing that Dom Capers is going to blitz him and try to make him uncomfortable. And I also think the Packers are a pretty good football team. Their one weakness is they don't run the ball. I think they make enough plays through the air, though, this week to advance.
This is a tough game. This is a very tough game. I think I'm going to agree with Andy, though, and take the Packers on
You're
the
right.
road.
You're right.
This is the toughest game of the four, in my opinion. Should be the best matchup. I'm going to go with the home team. I think too many people are jumping on the sixth-seeded Packers. And putting them in the Super Bowl, I think Philadelphia
I'm not
has
going
something
that far,
to say about
but...
it.
Yeah, I'll take the Packers.
I think they'll win the game.
All right, well, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Have a good weekend watching the games. If you're in town, you can watch them at CBS Scene. Throw that out there. They have 135 HD TVs, and you can win tickets to the divisional playoff game by going and registering.
Where did this come from?
I don't know. I just thought of it.
I know you. So random.
So stay tuned for John Rook. He's got Don Banks from Sports Illustrated.
Who we love.
And John Clayton
and
from
Buster
ESPN.
Crab.
And Buster Crab? Wow. Yeah,
the trifecta.
Buster Rhymes? Okay. Big show coming up. We'll see you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.